The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Wednesday, September 8th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the Delaware Valley is facing the threat of more severe weather as the area continues to clean up from the damage left behind by tornadoes and flooding that came as remnants of Ida moved through. Exactly a week after showers from Ida began, the area is expected to begin seeing even more rain. The National Weather Service issued a flash flood watch for parts of Pennsylvania and northern New Jersey beginning at 4 p.m. Wednesday and extending through 2 a.m. Thursday morning.
Throughout this summer, I've been bombarded with flash flood warnings.
Yeah.
Like it seems every other day you're getting a flash flood warning.
All of the Pennsylvania counties in the Delaware Valley and parts of the Lehigh Valley are included in the flash flood watch. Mercer County is the southernmost New Jersey county in the watch area. Storms are expected to begin popping up to the north and west of Philadelphia at about 5 p.m. Wednesday. The heaviest rain and storms are expected to move in around 9 p.m. Strong to severe thunderstorms are forecast to arrive late Wednesday night and into Thursday morning, with the main threats from the storm being heavy rain and damaging winds. We may experience heavy lightning and some hail and the possibility of an isolated tornado. The National Weather Service says saturation of the ground from last week's storms will increase the potential for flash flooding, especially in the flood-prone areas and low-lying areas. A brief heavy rain of 1 to 2 inches an hour is possible. A magnitude 7.0 earthquake struck near the Mexico resort city of Acapulco late Tuesday, according to the USGS. The quake hit at about 6:47, less than 10 miles north of Acapulco. Authorities were investigating for potential structural damage and injuries. The shaking was felt in Mexico City, more than 200 miles north of the epicenter. Video from a wrestling arena in the capital shows the building shaking and an announcer warning the audience not to run. The United States National Weather Service warned that tsunami waves are possible on the coast up to 186 miles from the epicenter. The mayor of Acapulco, Adela Roman, said there were many gas leaks as well as some landslides and some fallen walls, but so far no reports of casualties. In Mexico City, the ground shook for nearly a minute in some parts of the capital, but was less evident in other parts. Some people evacuated their buildings briefly, but most quickly went back inside as it was a rainy night. Mexico City authorities said there were no reports of significant damage in the city, though they said electricity was knocked out in some neighborhoods.
Do you think the warning not to run has ever worked?
Oh my God, right? Like, if I heard don't run, I'd be like,
run!
Yeah, right?
Immediately.
They're telling us not to run because there's a reason to run!
Yeah, seriously.
But then the opposite would not work if you yell run.
Run! And so you're kind of overreacting.
Come on.
I'm not running. I'm not going to run.
I've paid for these seats. Yeah. Run my ass.
As millions of students head back to school, health officials say the United States is facing its most concerning surge yet. Hundreds of thousands of American children are now testing positive for COVID-19 every week, according to a newly released weekly report from the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association. Students and staff will be wearing masks as mandated for schools across New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. Health officials report that nearly 252,000 American children tested positive for COVID-19 last week, marking the single highest week on record for pediatric infections. The Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association noted that at this time, severe illness due to COVID-19 remains uncommon among children. Mask mandates have not been without controversy. In Pennsylvania, some lawmakers and parents plan to sue the Wolf administration, alleging that the acting health secretary, Allison Beam, does not have the authority to mandate masks in schools. Some GOP leaders have argued this is the governor's way of getting around newly approved constitutional amendments limiting his emergency powers. In sports this morning. The Phillies lost to the Brewers last night in Milwaukee 10-0. Eric Lauer allowed 4 hits in 7 innings and led the Brewers to the win. The Phillies fell
is that?
2.5 games behind the National League East leading Atlanta Braves, who beat the Washington Nationals 8-5. The series in Milwaukee wraps up tonight, and Kyle Gibson gets the start. Game time is at 7:40. After a 14-month delay, the 2020 Basketball Hall of Fame class headlined by Derek Jeter.
Baseball.
What did I say?
Basketball.
Baseball.
But Derek Jeter is so talented.
He's so many sports, this guy.
Equally as good on the court.
He doesn't even play the game, and they just put him in there.
Why are we even dawdling? Give it to him already.
All right, I'm starting over. After 14 months
in the basket. There's an Oscar, too.
The 2020 Baseball Hall of Fame class, headlined by Derek Jeter, will be inducted in Cooperstown. Jeter will have his plaque unveiled alongside Colorado Rockies star Larry Walker, veteran committee selectee Ted Simmons, the longtime St. Louis Cardinals catcher, and Marvin Miller, the groundbreaking labor leader. The class of 2021 inductees would have joined them, but there were no Hall of Famers elected in the most recent cycle. The ceremony will begin at 1:30 this afternoon and will be aired live on the MLB Network and MLB.com. And in college basketball, Hall of Fame Herb McGee announced that he will retire as the head coach of the Thomas Jefferson University Rams at the end of the upcoming 2022 season. Over his career of 53 seasons, he became one of the greatest college basketball coaches in history and the all-time NCAA Division II wins leader. McGee is second all-time in NCAA victories, trailing only Duke's Mike Krzyzewski, who also will retire after the upcoming season. McGee is also the only basketball coach to have achieved that many wins, all at his alma mater. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks so much, Kathy. So we have a lot going on in the program today. It's a Wednesday, so Fox Good Day. We'll do that thing around 7:55. We also have two announcements, one coming at 8 a.m. and one after 10 or so, and they're both really important and something you will want to know about and be a part of, so don't miss those. Make sure you stay with us because some of those are quite time sensitive.
Yes.
And we also have a guest on the program, Sarah Kaleen will be on. She is a true crime reporter and does this really cool, these cool features about true crime stories.
Yes.
We've had her on before and she has two shows coming up. September 8th and 15th. Do we know where those are going to be? It doesn't say here on my little info sheet.
We'll find out.
So Sarah's going to be joining us this morning. We also have a secret text word. We have your chance to win a pair of tickets, and it says the best seats in the house to see Breaking Benjamin with Papa Roach.
Wow.
And Memphis May Fire at the Pavilion at Montage Mountain.
Oh, nice.
This is going to be Saturday, September 18th, so a week from this coming Saturday.
Some great concerts up there on Montage Mountain.
And all you have to do is text word secret to 39333, and you just might win those. Little road trip show for you there. So get on it, and we'll send a word to you, and we'll ask you to call in there with that word, and the designated caller gets tickets, and we'll grab a random texter as well and give away another pair of tickets that way, too. So there you go. A lot happening on the program today, so make sure that you are with us for the extending of it all out to you on
exactly.
The broadcast airwaves. That's what we do.
We protrude out towards you.
And the A to Z.
Yay!
Yeah, mother effer.
Yeah.
And actually, we're gonna come back with a song from a band that is actually played live at the Camp Out for Hunger, whom we were all blown away with.
Oh, yeah.
So when we return, we will have a song from them in the A to Z. Stick with us. We'll be right back in a moment.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Stupid question. We got a pair of tickets to see Jim Gaffigan, the fun tour, Sunday, September 19th, and that will be at the Met in Philadelphia. I was just scanning through some stuff, and I saw a picture of a raspberry.
Mm.
So I have a question that concerns raspberries. In 1985, what musician had a hit with a song that mentions a raspberry? Oh, that mentions raspberry in the title.
Oh, yeah.
215-263-WMMR. 1985 song that mentions raspberry in the title. Let's see if you know it's an easy one. 215-263-WMMR. Wednesday, September 8th birthdays while we await your answer include actress Heather Thomas.
Yes, she was one of the two Heathers.
Yeah.
You had Heather Locklear and Heather Thomas. Now, fans of the movie Zapped.
Yes.
Remember her Academy Award winning performance.
Academy Award winning performance. Yeah. And of course, you remember when Scott Baio's character popped her top open.
Yes, he was.
With his mind.
Telekinetic powers.
Yes, it was a special moment. Was she on TJ Hooker?
She was on. No, that was Heather Locklear. She was on Fall Guy.
That's it. Yep.
With
and
three
it was
majors.
They were the Heathers. Like you had to, you kind of had to, you had to choose if you were a guy back then. Heather Thomas,
now,
Heather
not,
Locklear.
Not as obvious a difference as say Ginger and Marianne because they're we're looking at a current picture. Blonde.
Well, she's 64.
Yeah, blonde bombshell. Both of them were. One was a little more girl next door, and the other one was a little bit more sexed up.
Yeah, I leaned towards Heather Thomas and Heather Locklear ended had a better career.
Yes.
And was obviously stunning as well, but I kind of leaned toward that more modelly sexy look that Heather Thomas had. I mean, they were both perfect.
Yes. And obviously we both dated both of them.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, so Heather Thomas is 64 today. Gaten Matarazzo.
Oh.
From Stranger Things.
We were supposed to have him on the show at one point, right?
Yeah, but his handlers, he was in a band and they didn't want us to talk about Stranger Things. So I said, that's impossible.
Yeah.
And even if, as much as we'd like to have him by, it's just not going to happen. So we passed on him.
And the notion that we could talk about two things seemed elusive to them.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, so whatever. I don't necessarily blame him, but, you know,
I blame his parents.
He's great on that show. And we've got a fourth season coming up, which is very exciting. And he is 19 years old today. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, former child actor like Gaten Matarazzo from Home Improvement, of course. And so, he is 40 years old today.
Man. He was a heartthrob.
Yeah.
Little girls and Tiger Beat and all that stuff. He was on the cover of all those magazines.
Yep. So he turns the big 4-0 today.
What was that movie where he's in a Santa Claus outfit?
I forgot the name of it. Yeah. But yeah, he was in one of the holiday movies.
Yeah.
And I cannot remember what that was. Because, of course, Tim Allen was in The Santa Claus. He did his turn in the Santa movies.
I love those movies.
They're fun. They're really good.
I don't remember the second one as much, but I did really like the first one.
The third one's
with Martin Short.
Martin Short, Jack Frost.
I'll be home for Christmas.
That's it.
You know what the premise of that was?
Of Jonathan Taylor Thomas's I'll Be Home for Christmas?
No. Coming home for Christmas.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. So happy big 4-0 to him. Wow. And a happy big 5-0 to David Arquette.
Wow.
David Arquette turns 50 years old today.
Huh. David Arquette is a solid actor. He's had some troubled stuff going on throughout his life. Most recently, he was doing like full blown wrestling, like backyard.
He loved wrestling.
He loves wrestling,
yeah.
And that was his thing.
What was the wrestling movie that he was in?
Love that movie,
Ready to Rumble.
It's horrible.
I think it's Ready to Rumble.
Oliver Platt is in it.
He plays the big wrestler.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of what else I remember him that I actually liked him in. Because I've always been kind of like,
Scream?
I never saw the Scream movies. I remember him in Never Been Kissed. I thought he was pretty funny in that. He played the older brother to her. And
he's in that crazy
Eight-Legged Freak.
Exactly.
He's in that.
Yep.
But I don't know much other than that. So he's 50 today. You also have, oh my God. We were talking about her yesterday. It's Amy Mann's birthday today.
What? We just, on the playback press, and it was a whole Amy Mann segment.
Oh, was it?
Yes, it was.
Voices
Carrie.
Did we? Oh.
You said Voices.
I said Voices, and you said Carrie. It was a story about the human voice, and I said Voices, and you just said Carrie. And then we went down in Amy Mann rabbit hole, because she was in Till Tuesday, and they had that song, Voices Carrie.
She has a song called Wise Up. It's in featured in Magnolia. It's not really a toe-tapper.
Is that the one everybody sings in the movie?
Yeah, okay. It's an Amy Mann song, but it's an absolutely gorgeous song. Yeah, Tom Cruise sings it. Philip Seymour Hoffman, every character in the movie kind of sings along with it. But it's a beautiful song.
There was a song. She's had a solo career, but it always just kind of... It almost gets there, but doesn't quite.
Yeah.
We had a song we played at WDRE when I was there called I Should Have Known, and I really liked it.
It's a good song.
But it just kind of, you know, fizzled.
He has a bit of a friendship with her. He's hung out with her a couple of times. Yeah, interviewed her, and apparently could not be a nicer person, really willing to talk, and always remembers him when she comes to town.
Nice. So she turns 61 years old today. Then you have actor Martin Freeman.
Yes.
Who was in The Hobbit and also Love Actually.
Black Panther.
Black Panther, yeah.
That is correct. Yep, he's great in Black Panther. And Sherlock as well is a show of his. He's also 50 years old today. We also have Brooke Burke.
What would you call her?
A spokesmodel?
So she's one of the Brooks, Preston. We have Brooke Burke. And who's the other Brooke?
Brooke Burns. But Brooke Burke was on E!
Right.
For a long time.
And Brooke Burns hosts game shows.
And I think she's still...
She was Dancing with the Stars for a while, too.
Yeah, she was like
the backstage correspondent.
And she was a Skechers spokesperson for a while.
Do you remember those shoes?
Yes. They had the curved shoes.
Stupid.
Yeah.
And then when they came out, I'm like, no, they don't.
Matt Cord bought them.
They were supposed to be like exercise shoes. They were like giving you, you know.
Do you know that Stephen Hawking could walk before he bought those shoes?
Wow,
They were supposed to
tone your butt.
Tone your butt, yeah.
And Matt Cord loved them. He's like, yeah, I see a difference.
You see nothing. You're convincing yourself. They did a complete test of those shoes. They did absolutely nothing.
Nope. They just made you walk funny.
Yeah.
Brooke Burke is also 50 years old today. That's a triple right there.
Ooh.
And then the last birthday, I saved a local gal. I believe she's from Doylestown. It's Pink's birthday.
I called Bill Dancy to this the other day.
Well, he said, let's don't get fancy, just get dancy.
Yep.
I'm too school for cool. Look at me, I'm moving.
She's so cool. Like, I love her, man.
Yeah, right, Kath?
Yeah.
She's, like you said, cool is the right word.
Yeah.
She seems like she doesn't pull punches, but she seems like somebody you could hang out with. Well, I couldn't hang out with her. She's way too cool for me. But,
I know.
But there's something about her that's pretty badass.
There was like a couple of things. I forget. She posted a picture of her son and, her son was naked and I forget what it was like. The kid might've been feeding like a duck or I don't know. Like it was just a cute photo.
Right.
And she posted it. People gave her a hard time because the kid had no clothes on and she was like, sorry, I don't know. That was a cute photo. Like, it just was, like, so real. Like, she was like, I don't know. I guess I wasn't thinking. Like, I just posted a picture of my kids.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly. Sorry about that.
You know, she's funny, too, because in the movie Pop Star Never Stopping, she sings a duet with
Andy Samberg?
Yeah, right, yeah. It's about his gay song.
He's like, I'm not gay.
And what was the story recently where she offered to pay the fines for that team that was the handball team?
It was the volleyball team in the Olympics.
Okay. Their outfits.
Yeah. You're supposed to wear like the bikini, and the girls were like, we want to wear shorts like the guys, and they got fined for it.
I think you're right, though, Nick. It was handball.
I think it was handball.
Yeah, which is my balls. We kept playing that clip when we were talking about it. But yes, Kathy, she was like, I'll pay that, which is totally cool.
They looked like beach volleyball uniforms, Kathy.
Yeah, very much so. So, hey, Pink.
Hey, happy birthday to you.
We love you.
You want to be friends?
She is 42 years old today. Hopefully she'll respond to that. Let's be friends. All right, we're going to go to the phone and see if we can get an answer to this. What artist had a hit with a song that mentions a raspberry in the title in 1985, and we will go to Luke for the answer. Yo, Luke, good morning.
Sorry to bother you guys at work.
No, we would just like to get an answer, sir. What artist do I speak of?
Prince, Raspberry Beret.
Yeah,
Prince. Yeah. Great song.
Yep, hang on just a second.
La, 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 Luke.
For Luke. We have tickets to see Jim Gaffigan, the Fun Tour, Sunday, September 19th at 7 p.m. at the Met, Philadelphia. Tickets for multiple Jim Gaffigan shows at the Met, September 17th, 18th, and 19th, are on sale now via Ticketmaster. Complete details at WMMR.com. This is definitely a sing-along tune.
It absolutely is.
Love it. All right, so entertainment stories. I got a lot for you. We'll start with this. Scott Disick and Amelia Gray Hamlin have officially split up. According to Us Weekly, Amelia was the one who ended things. An insider said the 38-year-old Disick and the 20-year-old Hamlin.
Disgusting.
Were first linked in October, much to the horror of the social media observers who decreed their age gap. Her parents reportedly had their doubts, too, but the pair seemed to be going strong until a DM from Disick to Eunice Benjima was leaked by Benjima.
That Benjima.
Disick had slammed his on-again, off-Courtney, Kardashian, of course, ongoing PDA with boyfriend Travis Barker. She had posted a shot of herself wearing a T-shirt that read, "Don't you have a girlfriend?" But the split wasn't related to the message Scott said about Courtney, the source says. This breakup was coming regardless. A second insider says they're both taking it in stride.
You know what? The parents, so Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin, handled it, I think, pretty well because they didn't come out at the beginning full-blown objecting because they knew that would only fortify her commitment to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
So they sort of let it deteriorate. And once they started to see punctures in the relationship, then they started being a little bit more candid about what they thought about Scott Disick.
So she posted a shot on social media that read, "Never settle for less, not with your jobs, your friends, and especially with your heart. Continue to seek what you are looking for and do not shrink yourself for the sake of other people."
She's so wise.
You deserve the best. Nick had pulled up the Instagram account of Lisa Rinna, and man, she blew up her lips again big time. You remember she backed off that for a while?
Yeah.
But her body is outstanding.
She's in phenomenal shape. She's
excellent shape.
Here's the deal, Preston. She's one of the Real Housewives. Mm-hmm. So if you do not have kayaks for lips, you look like an anomaly.
I guess so, right?
Yeah,
you look like a freak.
You look like
a
freak.
She went right back into it, like, and doesn't even care, and they're giant all of the time.
Right. Oh,
that's just
I'd love to have one episode where all those Real Housewives sit down and eat a lemon.
Yeah. Yes, the unreal housewives, none of them. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, I think us collectively hate that, but there have to be people listening right now who love like those lips.
California.
Yeah.
L.A., if you go there, Preston, you clearly remember when we went to that function, that industry function, we're at the W Hotel in Los Angeles, and if you looked around, there were a ton of people, like, even in the airport, LAX.
But, Casey, you're right. I would like to hear, because I don't know a male who has ever said, "Oh my gosh, her lips look amazing, all filled up like that."
Right.
Like the women say it.
Yeah.
You know, like, "I want that," or, "Oh, I like what she has." But I don't think I've ever heard someone say, "Wow, that's so attractive, that fake lip."
Yeah. I think we're just dealing with it.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're just, they're going to be that way. All right, anyhow, maybe we'll find out. We'll have to explore that at some point. Kylie. Announced Tuesday on Instagram that she is pregnant with her second child.
It's the best way to work on a relationship.
The 24-year-old is already a mother to 3-year-old Stormy Webster. The minute-and-a-half-long Instagram video, which is captioned with a heart emoji, a pregnant belly emoji as well, begins with what appears to be a positive pregnancy test and then shows her and boyfriend Travis Scott taking their daughter to the doctor's office for Jenner's ultrasound. Also featured is what appears to be the moment that Kylie tells her mother, Chris, that she is pregnant. Webster gives her grandmother an envelope with photos of an ultrasound, and she writes, "Stormy, we're going to have a baby." She says, "Stormy, we're going to have a baby." And she says, "This is one of the happiest days of my life." The video includes clips of Jenner's stomach, as well as what appear to be scenes from the star's 24th birthday, which was on August 10th. No other details were released. ET Online reported last month that Jenner was pregnant, with one source telling them at the time that she loves being pregnant and enjoyed her last pregnancy out of the public
eye.
I'm
online now.
You're what?
ET Online.
ET is online now.
So the status of this relationship is that they are, they're not solely, they're not monogamous, right? They're not married, but they see other people. Is that the last iteration that made the news?
I guess.
Yeah, that they can be with other people, but obviously this is something that they're doing as well.
Yep.
What do I it's like a hobby.
The Webster, I didn't hear that name before. Is that her middle name?
The baby's Stormy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this baby's Stormy name is Webster. Gonna be Gary Coleman Jenner.
So anyhow, she's pregnant again. Kendall Jenner and her NBA beau, Devin Booker, have taken their relationship to the next level. They celebrated their one-year anniversary on a romantic trip to Italy.
Ooh.
And shared outtakes on social media. The 25-year-old captioned the photos, "Limoncello." Jenner can be seen lounging by the water with longtime friend Phi Cadra. Eating delicious pasta and, of course, taking a romantic sunset stroll with Booker.
Isn't that Admiral Akbar's son?
I think so.
Phi Cadra. I was thinking it was something that, like, Sherlock Holmes would say, like, Phi Cadra.
Jennifer also
gave the trail of Ficodra.
Gave him a shout out on her Instagram story, where she posted a photo of them embracing the water. No, embracing by the water.
I was like, I can't
do that.
I can't hug it. It keeps falling through my arms. Why did you make me hug the river? It's so stupid.
It's what they do, man. They try to do the impossible.
Uh-huh. All right, now kiss the clouds. I can't. They're up too high.
This was sad news because from the world of Tiger King, I actually liked this guy, Eric Cowie, one of the zookeepers featured on Tiger King, unfortunately has died. Law enforcement sources say that Cowie's body was found Friday in New York City. Apparently a friend found him face down in the bedroom of a residence after a follow-up story. They found out that he was in town visiting a friend at her apartment. Where he was found dead. Investigating officers learned that Eric used alcohol excessively and a large bottle of vodka was found at the scene. But they need to do toxicology tests to find out exactly what happened. So this is a guy, I know I say the guy with the missing teeth, and you can say, okay, that doesn't really tell me much. But he had really long hair. He was always wearing sunglasses.
Aww.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We're looking at a picture of him. And he had several missing teeth. But he seemed to be one of the most genuine of the group that really cared about the animals.
That's what I remember.
And that's the reason he was there. He's like, I just want to spend time with these magnificent animals, you know?
And wasn't he the one that sort of revealed some of the information, like the food that they were feeding them, where they were getting it?
He was one of them.
I think you're right.
The pizzas that were made. I think he kind of, like, spoke the truth a little bit.
Yeah, the food that they were serving was stuff that had been thrown out by other places.
And, in fact, he was often cited as the head keeper of Joe Exotic's Big Cats and even stuck around to work at the zoo after Joe got thrown into prison. Speaking of that, Cowie testified against Joe, saying that he'd seen Joe order some of the zoo animals to be shot and killed, which contributed to his conviction. Cowie said before showing up on Joe's doorstep, he was apparently at the end of his rope. He admitted to a one-time drinking problem, but denied any other drug use or addiction. Despite his appearance, people had speculated that he might have used meth due to his bad teeth. But he shot that down and attributed it to old age. By the way, he was 53 when he died. I'm 53. I still have all my teeth.
Right, yeah.
Funny enough, though, he got his teeth fixed really nice post-Tiger King because I guess they got some money for that.
Sure. Oh, we're looking at a picture of him post-Tiger King. He's got a fine set of chompers.
Much better. Like many other Tiger King stars, Cowie had run into some legal trouble, though. Earlier this year, he got busted for DUI in Oklahoma following a car accident. He pleaded guilty and was supposed to be sentenced shortly thereafter. However, he never showed up to court, so an arrest warrant was issued. It was unclear where he had gone, but obviously he landed in the Big Apple, and unfortunately he passed away at 53, so we'll see if there's a follow-up to that. Britney Spears' father, Jamie Spears, has filed a petition to end her conservatorship after 13 years, marking a huge victory for Britney in her years-long fight to regain control of her estate and life.
I wonder if this confuses her because she thinks, was I the one who's behind all this?
In a court filing, Jamie directly references his daughter's testimony at court hearings over the summer, writing, Ms. Spears has told this court that she wants control of her life back without the safety rails of a conservatorship. She wants to be able to make decisions regarding her own medical care, deciding when, where, and how often to get therapy. The petition goes on to acknowledge Britney's wishes to, quote, control the money she has made from her career and spend it without supervision or oversight, and be able to get married and have a baby if she so chooses. In the filing, Jamie also admits that Britney is entitled to have, quote, this court now seriously consider whether this conservatorship is no longer required. Britney's lawyer, Matthew Rosengart, said in a statement that this development marks a legal victory and vindication for the singer, while also noting that Mr. Spears believes that he can try to avoid accountability and justice, including sitting for a sworn deposition and answering other discovery under oath. Rosengart added that, quote, we will also continue to explore all options. But that's that is a big deal right there,
so,
in her world.
How good is this lawyer? Look at how quickly all this stuff happened after securing this lawyer. Everything she wanted has turned around in her favor.
Yeah, yep, exactly. So,
and the guy doesn't even have a cowboy hat.
Not at all. He's a non-cowboy hat lawyer. He's one of the few. So Brielle Bierman. I had to look up who this person is. She is on a show called Don't Be Tardy, And
don't
she
be
was
tardy.
Also on E! News, but the main reason I bring her up, so some people, she's got a career in entertainment, but she's on the road to recovery after double jaw surgery.
Oh, my God. Why?
Yeah, so she shared her journey on social media. She wrote, "So I had double jaw surgery on August 23rd to correct my TMJ and my 9mm overjet overbite."
Double jaw therapy.
Alongside a series of photos taken during and after the procedure.
So what you're dealing with here, Preston, I mentioned a while ago, Burt Reynolds years ago had an issue where he dropped so much weight that people thought he was like dying of AIDS. Mm-hmm. He looked, you know, was just in a bad way. It turned out he was suffering from a similar condition to what she had corrected.
She said this was not for aesthetics, but for quality of life. I sucked my thumb till I was nine-ish, which made the roof of my mouth super narrow, and my excessive overbite caused my teeth to have no contact whatsoever.
Wow.
She said, have you ever thought about what it's like to not be able to bite into pizza or trying to bite into an onion or on a burger? Impossible for me. I had to use my tongue to help me chew and almost choked every time I ate.
Wow.
She said that lisp some of y'all complained about, thank the overbite for that as well.
My girlfriend's dealt with TMG, and occasionally, what did I say?
You said G.
Yeah.
Like TMZ.
Yeah, TMJ, and occasionally, it's not to this level, so I don't think she's going to require surgery at any point, but it can really give her terrible headaches.
Yes.
And messes up with her sleep, and then it also messes, Preston, you were talking about, like, being able to chew.
Yeah.
It screws, you know, with that, and it's one of these things that you're like, wait, where is this coming from? And this is possibly the diagnosis.
There's dental work that I've had that has alleviated a headache situation.
Okay.
Again, on the right side of my head, and I think it was because of the jaw and the way it was not touching properly.
So her mom, Kim,
or the
said
teeth, I should say.
The surgery took 6+ hours or so. So she is on the mend, but double jaw surgery for that. Wow. Christina Hack and ex-husband Ant Anstead marked their son Hudson's second birthday on Monday with social media posts. That's what you do.
That's awesome. Rather than get presents.
Hack wrote, he loves to try and figure things out for himself and has this mischievous look on his face while doing it. Ha ha.
So he's kind of like a baby.
He's talking a lot already, but his favorite word in our home is cash, the name of the family's French bulldog.
No.
And then she wrote, we love you. You don't like that name, Cash?
No, the kid loves Cash.
I don't like
the kid. Went, put this up on social media.
We had my sister had friends and their two dogs because they had purebreds and they were show dogs and they were named Cash and Banker.
Well, not Tango?
Not Tango.
Oh,
no.
Man.
It was before that.
It was
back in the day, but Cash and Banker.
Were they?
Jace had a friend named Cash for a little while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Were they well-to-do? I don't know. I think if you're
no, like, they were show dogs. Like they would show them to win prizes.
Yeah, so. No, I know. But the people who own the show dogs, were they rich people? Were they mansion people?
No,
I think
no.
If you're a mansion person and you name your pet Cash, it's a little tacky. But
you think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
What if you're dirt poor?
If you're dirt poor, then
name your kid Dirt Poor.
Yeah,
that works too.
Destitute. Is there a child destitute?
Yeah. And dirt poor.
And dirt poor.
Yeah. Impoverished.
<That's>... so anyhow, yes, Anstead also shared pictures from the party. Their split was finalized in June and they are finding their groove co-parenting. Both have moved on, Hack with Joshua Hall, Anstead with Renee Zellweger.
What do you think about the notion of, you know, because they're putting a lot of pictures up of the kid. Is that kind of weird to put a lot of pictures of your children up on social media?
I guess it depends. I mean, you know, there are stretches where I shy away from it, and then other times where you're like, no, I'm really proud of the kid. I want to put something up. So, you know, but I know what you're saying, Steve, especially when it's like four or five posts in a row.
Right.
Same birthday party, and each post has 10 photos in it.
But he's a
proud parent, a proud dad,
right.
And he wants to show off his kid. So who am I to judge?
The social media is so funny. I forgot the other day we were looking up some friends on Facebook because we wanted to see, like, you know, where they were, what they were doing at that particular time. And so, or we were looking for a specific photo. And so my wife goes into their photos and we're scrolling through and I just go, wow, looks like they're always on vacation, doesn't it? I mean, like, every single photo is an exotic location and smile and happy and sunglasses and cocktails and everything. And I'm like, there's got to be stuff in between that.
Like, it's like Kourtney Kardashian's Instagram page. There's never one shot of her at home, always on a beach, always doing something. Yeah. And so, there's at some point she probably goes home. We just never see it.
So there you go. That's social media angle. All right. Bill Cosby accuser Andrea Constan broke her silence yesterday discussing the comedian's release from prison in her first televised interview since the Pennsylvania Supreme Court overturned his assault conviction in June. And a few takeaways from that. She said, "I was really shocked and disappointed, obviously." During the interview, she also shared her thoughts on Felicia Rashad's tweet celebrating Cosby's release and talked about her new book, which is called The Moment, Standing Up to Bill Cosby, Speaking Up for Women, which was also released yesterday. So she's making the media rounds,
selling the book.
Get the book out there. Constan recalled watching the freed Cosby with his fist raised shortly after his release. She said, "Disgusting. Didn't surprise me. Given the level of the arrogance and having no remorse during the time he was incarcerated, absolutely zero remorse for what he did to me.
No remorse?"
She said he's a sexually violent predator who basically was let out of jail.
Listen, for what she says she's been through, and I believe her, have this play out this way has got to be, you are effing kidding me.
Do you think she had any inkling that he might get released?
No.
So it was a surprise to her as well?
Yeah. I think it was a surprise to everybody.
Especially at his age. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. She goes on to say, "I have come way too far to go back to that place to wonder whether it's all worth it or to have regret." She said, "But it was worth it because I didn't feel alone. I had a whole community, a whole army of women and other survivors, strangers, family, friends who were right there with me." There were moments, however, that disappointed her, including when Felicia Rashad, Cosby's former co-star, obviously on The Cosby Show, tweeted that, quote, "a terrible wrong is being righted. A miscarriage of justice is corrected." And Constan said, "It's disappointing to hear somebody who is in such a powerful position as herself to not support survivors. But after growing backlash from the students at Howard University, where she is now a dean, Rashad apologized to them, writing in a letter that her remarks were not directed toward sexual assault survivors and that she vehemently opposes sexual violence." Constan said, "I'm really happy to hear that. That's the statement that needed to be said." She said that she wrote her book in part to ensure that her memories wouldn't be lost to time. She said, "I had a story to tell, and part of telling that story was finding my voice, but also it was what was going to bring me true healing. Moving forward," she said, "she's more concerned about the impact of the court's decision on other survivors of sexual misconduct and assault." She said, "As I sit here today, I want to send a message to not let this deter you from coming forward, from getting the peace and the healing and the closure that you need."
I mean, ultimately, he got out because there was a technical violation to procedure. And so people who are not even defending Cosby, who firmly believe that he is guilty, said, well,
yeah,
if you lay it out this way, that...
We commented on that too. It's okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the way the system works, and that's how he got out. Wow. Let me see here. The 17th annual Zurich Film Festival. I know you've been following this, Steve.
This is the first year I haven't been able to attend.
They will honor Paul Schrader for his life work.
I love Paul Schrader,
including the screenplays for Raging Bull and Taxi Driver. And the films he directed, which include American Gigolo. I'm not sure what else.
Paul Schrader also wrote the screenplay to Taxi Driver.
Yeah, I said that.
Oh, and Rolling Thunder, a great movie that actually Quentin Tarantino loved so much, he named his production company after it.
So Schrader said, "I am pleased to be honored by a very hip film festival in the beautiful city of Zurich. I have many fond memories and friends there, and am appreciative that this honor will allow me to visit those."
He also wrote Taxi Driver.
Did he really? I did not know that. This sounds cool. Amy Winehouse's story is on the way to the big screen. Halcyon Studios has received the green light to produce a biopic about the late pop star based on Daphne Barak's 2010 book called Saving Amy, which utilizes hours of photos, videos, and notes collected during a 6-month period 3 years before she died.
There's such a great documentary about her.
It's called Amy.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
It's great.
It gave me a whole... Yeah. I love the music that she put out.
Right.
She was a mess. And I remember seeing her at that time and watching video and going, oh, my God, this girl. What a... Oh, this is disgusting. What a... You know, so on. And then I saw the story behind it in that documentary, how there were so many enablers in her life, and she had some mental issues that should have been looked into.
That weren't.
But what an unbelievable talent she was. That album, Back to Black, she just kind of slapped it together.
Yeah.
She wrote all that stuff. And just kind of, I mean, she didn't just sing it. She wrote all that stuff. And it's fantastic. That album is amazing from start to end. And she did that. And she had a great producer and a great band and all that. But she was just a mega talent in a tiny little body. And unfortunately, just the demons got a hold of her, and there she had no support system.
Her father did her zero favors.
Oh, my God.
That first guy that was married to her was a piece of trash.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
But what a talent and what a voice.
Well, she ended up with the Yes people.
Yeah.
Who are around that tend to congregate around stars, especially a star that flashes that bright that quickly. And so they can do no wrong. And there's no one saying, you need to take an extended break and get your ass together.
And if you see interviews with her in that documentary, you know, the year or two prior to when the drugs really took hold of her,
it's completely different.
She was
completely different.
She was completely lucid and smart and fun and you know, just intuitive and all this stuff. And it fell apart.
Her whole look was inspired by what she loved from like the 60s and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And you know, that went out with the drugs.
That's a documentary worth seeing if you haven't seen it. It's sad as well, but it's really worth checking out if you want to see just an amazing natural talent. Her father, Mitch, revealed that the biopic was in the works in 2020. He said, "That's how we'll get our own back, by portraying Amy the way she was." In October of that year, also, Millie Bobby Brown had mentioned to Netflix that she's long adored Amy Winehouse and would love to portray her on screen.
I could see that.
Yeah. All right. And then let's see. You know what? We'll get to the clips. I think.
Really?
Yeah. Chicago Party Ant.
Yes.
Takes the personality of the long running witty Twitter account to animation.
Yes, of course.
Of course it does.
We all suspected.
In this clip, creator Chris Witaski, talks about how the show is a love letter to the Windy City. Here we go.
Chicago is like in our bones because we all spent so much time there. And so I think we've just like sponged up so many different people's tones that I think all the creative people involved in this project really know how to hit that.
I don't even know who the hell you are.
We'll be going to the Windy City next month for the Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
I expect this to be the big conversation, this animated series on Netflix when we get there.
Chicago Party Ant drops on Netflix September 17th, so you never know. It might be a big hit. We'll see. Next clip. The much-anticipated return to Arrakis arrives in Dune. And here, director Denis Villeneuve. I guess I says Denis Villeneuve.
Dundee.
Okay. I always thought it was Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Discusses his passion for the source material. Here we go.
My biggest fear was not to be faithful to the dream I had as a teenager. It can sound strange, but it's just that I love that book so much when I read it. It's by far one of my favorite books of all time for me. And I wanted to make sure that the deep, hardcore fan I was would be pleased with the adaptation.
Shut the f*** up!
Dune premieres in theaters and on HBO Max October 22nd.
Did you watch the extended trailer?
Probably. I don't know. I've seen several trailers.
There's one that came out pretty recently that has it looks amazing.
Yeah.
I've read some reviews, which I won't reveal to you because I think you want to experience it fully on its own.
Yes.
But the guy certainly is a fan and is certainly committed to the minutiae in it. So that would be cool.
Yeah. And I think Timothée Chalamet as Paul, from a look standpoint, is spot on. So I'm looking forward to this whole thing when it comes out. All right, and that's it. That's the entertainment report for today. Secret text word, we have tickets to see Breaking Benjamin and Papa Roach. They're playing a show at Montage Mountain This is going to be Saturday, September 18th, and apparently these are great seats. It says the best seats in the house. So text the word secret to 39333. Send a word back to you. We'll ask you to call in with that word later on this morning, and we'll also grab a random text or two. We have a couple of announcements to make today. We're going to get to one around Bizarre File time.
Yes.
You're going to like that. And then another one around 10-ish. That we have, and you don't want to miss out on these. We got guests and more coming up today, so we'll come back in just a moment and let it all roll. Stay with us.
It's the annual tradition that launches a thousand debates over the alphabet. 93.3 WMMR's Back to School A to Z. We dig deep, and we mean deep, into the massive MMR music library and play just about everything we've got in something resembling alphabetical order. It starts with Preston and Steve this Thursday at 6 a.m. and goes until it ends. MMR's Back to School A to Z.
From Springfield Mitsubishi, two locations, Philly and Reading.
And the station that's tardy, as usual, 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Great work on that live read and traffic report, Kathy Romano. It's really harrowing for a woman who can't see to be able to actually read that stuff.
Yeah.
Kathy was not here.
There's so many reasons I can't see.
Kathy was not here yesterday. All right. So she had texted into us in the morning that she wouldn't be making it, that she wasn't feeling well, and she sent along a photo of her tooth.
I felt as though you needed to see it.
We did. And it looked like she had gone 10 rounds with Dempsey. I mean, your eyes...
They were swollen shut.
Yeah.
I advised her to get her cut man to do the deal so she could get back in the ring.
Yeah, and by the way, at like, I forget what time I texted you guys, but whatever time was, 4:30, 5 o'clock, I'm like, I chuckled at that. I was like, well, at least I got a laugh out of this.
Right.
Yeah, so yesterday, I woke up at 3:30 to go to the bathroom, and I was like, God, I am still so tired. Like, what is, you know, I knew I still had like an hour of sleep, but right. I was like, God, my eyes are so heavy. I'm so tired. And I went to the bathroom, and I don't turn the light on at night when I go to the bathroom, but I sort of caught like a glimpse, and I was like, what the hell? I put the light on, and my eyes were essentially almost swollen shut at that point. At
yeah, 3:30. We're serious. The imagery of like a prize fighter who got a couple rounds is what she looked like.
And so let me just step back. So I had that day, my eyes had been bothering me, sort of just itching, like the lids were itching a little bit.
Itchy lids.
So that was 3:30. So 4:15, my alarm goes off. I get up about 4:30 and I go into the bathroom, and it's even worse. Like now at this point, they're like, at least I could see a little bit. But now they're like completely closed shut. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, OK, I'll pack my makeup and I'll do my makeup at work. And I have these little they're ice balls, basically. And you put them on your eyes. So I'm like, I'll take them in the car with me. I'll do one eye at a time as I'm driving in. I have like the under eye. You put like these little pads under your eyes and I'll ice that.
So you're like ice teabagging yours. The plan is to do this.
To ice teabag myself on the way in and bring my makeup and just do my makeup after everything has like gone down.
When did you realize that wasn't going to be an
option? So I'm looking at myself and I'm like, like I cannot walk into a room of men looking like this.
And she has a wonderful little boutique in the office where a lot of work can be done. A little vanity set up with lights and everything. But no, there'd be no way you could.
And listen,
to drive with your eyes like that would have been dangerous.
Well, yeah. And also,
you need to see.
I'm laughing about it now. Yesterday, I was not really laughing that much.
No,
like,
yeah.
This was like, I was stressed. I was crying. And like, the crying makes it worse.
And it wasn't just your eyes, though, too.
Yeah. So, anyway, so I've been going through this probably since February. And it's, I guess, they're saying it's an allergic reaction to something. It's just that nobody knows what the something is. That was the worst it has ever been. My eyes have gotten swollen, and I've gone through this, and I have some medicine that I use and all this kind of stuff. But that was like the worst it had ever been. And then on top of it, there were patches
all over your body,
all over my body, from like my neck down to
like red.
My legs. Yeah.
So as we talk about this, and if this sounds familiar to you listening and you have had a similar thing or able to beat it, we want to know about that. But you had something, I remember years ago, you've had a very elusive sort of scenario that keeps popping up with this. You had, you found out you were allergic or an allergy to nightshades?
Yeah, so, like, I think that my body is like that. They say every 7 years your body changes, and that's what they're telling me. They're like, look, it could be something you use every single day, and you've used it for 30 years, but now
you're allergic to it.
And that's sort of what happened with the nightshade vegetables, and it actually happened to my mom.
Has it gone now? Are you?
Oh, no, no, no. I still can't. Right. I still can't have them.
Wow.
And now we're thinking, since my mom, she can't eat mushrooms now. They, like, kill her.
I blame your mom for all of this.
Yes, of course. One, yeah, me too.
Jerry's fault.
Totally.
Yeah.
Don't let any dirt get on the baby.
Yeah.
We're going to keep a 100% antiseptic.
Daryl.
You'll be able to store surgical equipment in a butthole.
Wow. Now, listen, I have sensitive skin as it is, like, before any of this. Like, when I would go to get my eyebrows waxed, every single time, these are, like, professional people that do eyebrows, they'd go, are you okay? This is, like, much more red than we normally see. And I'm like, yeah, it's me. It's just, like, my sensitive skin, I guess.
Wow.
I'm not trying to make this about me, but between your face and my face after I fell, and then Sarah
your
Parker.
Face and my
I know it's Sarah.
Sarah Parker was dealing with Bell's palsy last month. I mean, yeah. Like, we got some face issues going on around here. But this is a serious
turns out we're the best looking people around here, yeah. Preston.
I mean, your face yesterday was, it looked terrible. Are there any possible allergies that have crept in your life that you were not allergic to before, like a cat, for example?
Nick, it could be anything. Like, everything that they're going through, it could be anything. They don't think it's the, the cat or the, any animals, because I had that testing done. And so we sort of know what animals I'm allergic to and all that. They're thinking it's more on the chemical side of, something in skincare products or stuff like that.
Here's what I'd like to throw out to the audience. Number one, if you can help Kathy, please let us know, and you can email her as well. But I saw a TikTok video a couple of weeks ago. It was a woman who has had this issue for ages, for a long time, and it has to do with her menstrual cycle, and it's painful. And it actually kind of sounds like Rochelle, because she has had this issue since we've been together. But anyhow, she was complaining of this pain all the time, so much so that it seemed like nobody believed her. Okay, so she's telling the people, you don't understand, yeah. I'm having this problem, and they're testing, and they're finding nothing. Yeah. And there's a video of the nurse. They finally find out what it is, and they tell her what it is. And she is just so relieved that they know what it is. She is just crying her eyes out. She was just so ecstatic to go, oh my God, I'm not lying. You see what I'm, this is for real.
Right, yeah.
You've figured it out what it is. So I thought maybe there were people who have had this issue for just ever, and they finally pinpointed what it was, because there are so many things. You'd think that, you know, a doctor knows everything, but there are some things that aren't considered from time to time. There's so much knowledge.
We don't know everything. There's a lot we don't know.
Some people know some things, and other people don't know this, and they haven't tried. There's so many avenues they can go down.
My perfect example is this, and I want to get back to your inflating, Kathy, but the... So I always, Preston, we just talked about this in the commercial break, about an issue with swallowing. Mm-hmm. And I was, for a number of years, I was like, a lot of times when I'll eat, it doesn't feel like I've swallowed the food all the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, the various doctors I would go to, they would prescribe, here, take this medication, it'll help. And so psychosomatically, you're going, yeah, I think it helped. It's not in our nature to go, well, doctor, let me see your data.
Well, and they have to do trial and error, too. Right, you got to try all these things out, and then they go, well, it's not that.
Say for two doctors in my life, and my current Sirigliano, Mike Sirigliano, they followed it a little bit more pressed, and after years and years and years of going, with this issue, I went into one doctor at Penn that Dr. Mike had sent me to. The doctor looks at my vitiligo. He says, you have achalasia. I'll bet. He had diagnosed the problem correctly in minutes. And I'm like, so I'm not nuts.
But that's and it happens that quick. And it's like, why did it go so long for somebody to then say that? And it's very frustrating. You talk about the woman who, you know, thinks that people are lying to them. When I went through trying to figure out this food allergy or sensitivity that I have, doctor after doctor, acid reflux. We'll put you on some acid reflux medicine. And I told the one doctor, I go, if one more doctor tells me it's acid reflux, I'm going to freak out because that is absolutely not what it is. And then when somebody said fibromyalgia, like basically phantom pain, I was like, I'm going to choke you.
Right.
So I'm going to murder you. You guys aren't on Facebook as much, but there is somebody that we all know.
Yes.
Who just posted on Facebook, 3 days ago. Their a family member was going through some really, really rough stuff and a really, really rough patch for years. Pain, mental issues,
duress.
And duress, and all of this. And it was all misdiagnosed for years. They finally found out what it was.
Okay.
And he like sent out this giant apology to this person for not believing in him, but it was Lyme disease.
There you go.
The whole time.
That can be very elusive.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm going to go to, let me get some calls. I have Bill. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's up? Gadzooks, buddy.
Hey, so I was prescribed ibuprofen basically off and on my whole life for pains in my legs and back. And maybe 2 months ago, I go and I take an 800 milligram ibuprofen. Blew up like an absolute fish after I already had taken one maybe a couple of days prior. Didn't know what it was. A couple of days ago passed. The hospital didn't know what it was. I take another ibuprofen. Same thing happens. Obviously, I figured out what it was.
Right. You're allergic to NSAIDs like me.
Yeah, and my mom had the same thing. One day, randomly out of nowhere, takes an ibuprofen like normal. This was a couple years ago. Same thing.
Yep.
Blew up. And the explanation was, like Kathy said, every couple years, your body changes. And just like that.
Yeah. And it goes the other way, too, Bill, because I used to be allergic. All of a sudden, hey, you're allergic to penicillin now. I'm like, really? Oh, man, that sucks. And I had to, you know, every time I went to the doctor, I had to make sure they knew that. And then years later, I'd read somewhere, you know, that sometimes that allergy goes away. I'm like, well, let me see if I can get tested for it. And I did. I went and did this test where they give you a little bit at a time. It's like an 8-hour-long test. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, you're not allergic anymore. Like, you're kidding me. So I did the same thing with ibuprofen, which they're called NSAIDs, which is a steroidal. Anyhow.
But, right.
And I went and I go to that test and I've got like 20 minutes left in the test.
You're like, oh, yes.
Sweet, I could take ibuprofen again. It'll help my aching bones and stuff. I had a reaction. They're like, nope, sorry, dude, you're still allergic.
It didn't help me because I had really bad seasonal allergies in March, April, and May. So I already couldn't breathe because of the pollen. So felt that yesterday with my eyes a little bit. So I had to go to an allergist, and they poked me about 30 times on each arm with all these things. And random parts of my arm would be itching and others. It's just a whole mess.
Well, let me ask you, Bill, did you encounter the situation where people kind of thought, oh, he's kind of just being a drama queen here. There's really nothing going on. Did you have to deal with that, or were people pretty understanding?
Well, when I took the ibuprofen and blew up, it was very clear.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory called Celebrex that you might be able to take. Ask your doctor about it, okay?
I will. I appreciate it.
All right. Good luck, Bill. We'll see you.
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks.
Preston, my brother has that. He can't take the ibuprofen. And he, for like, I mean, a while, was like, I don't know what is going on. And he thought it was wine because he would drink wine. But he said what would happen is he'd go to bed, wake up with like a little bit of a headache and take the ibuprofen. So he was thinking, I can't drink wine. But when he found out it was the ibuprofen, he was like, great, I can drink again.
All right. I'm going to go to Antonio. Hi, Antonio. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, listen, I was having almost the same issue a couple of years ago, and I was kept kind of blowing it off and just kind of doing like the same thing that she was doing.
The same as Kathy? Her eyes? Okay.
So I would put, you know, the ice packs, the eye drops, and just kind of just chalk it up as just, you know, having an eye issue.
Yeah.
It would happen every couple months or even every couple years. Then the one morning I woke up and was completely blind.
What?
Whoa!
Oh my God. Blind as in you couldn't open your eyes or eyes weren't working?
They weren't working. And it wasn't pitch black. It was all white, even with my eyes closed. So it was like somebody was holding a flashlight up to my eyes all the time.
Oh, it was like you were living in Kanye's house. Wow. It was all white. Yeah.
So, you know, panic, you know, I live in like, you know, the Cherry Hill, Marlton area. So we rushed over to Will's Eye first thing in the morning to the emergency room.
long story short, I ended up staying blind for probably around maybe 5 to 6 months.
Whoa!
Oh my God, dude!
Going constantly every week to Will's Eye and going to see, like, you know, autoimmune doctors, and pretty much they just jacked me up on medication, was it prednisone and progesterone, I believe it was. It was a steroid. I had to take it every hour on the hour.
Oh, my
even
God.
While I was sleeping.
Okay.
So I, you know, wake up in the middle of the night, take the eye drops, and take these pills. And about 6 months later, I can slowly start getting my vision back. And then it fully came back. So now, they have me on Humira. And they end up finding out, I mean, I don't know if Kathy has tattoos or anything, but I have, a good
She's got a big Mark McGrath tattoo on her back.
Yeah. No, she did have a nipple pierced at one point.
Oh.
That's what it is. But I have a good amount of tattoos, sleeves, back, legs, chest, everything is done. They were saying when I had an allergy test done, I went to an autoimmune disease, because your body changes, that my body is slowly starting to become allergic to the tattoo ink.
Oh, God.
Wow. That's good. See, it's interesting. So with you, Kathy, with your situation, I've never known somebody who changes, every couple of years, it's changing something for you.
I know.
Wow. Well, thank you, Antonio. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem. I definitely say don't chalk it up. It's just it happening every once in a while. Definitely into it and get it now, because the last thing you need is just,
The blindness for 6 months. Yeah, well, she's got Dr. Mike and her people.
Well, that's the thing. No,
thank you, Antonio.
Antonio Margariti.
Sorry, I had to play that clip.
I've been to dermatologist, ophthalmologist, then to an allergist who then sent me back to the dermatologist. So I'm not chalking it up to this because it's ridiculous.
Have you been to Pet Boys?
No, but you should have heard me on the phone with Dr. Mike. We were arguing yesterday. He's like,
Dr. Mike,
can't do miracles over the phone. I was like, well, what am I going to do?
Here's a text.
I'd love to hear you guys.
Please tell Kathy I used to have the eye issue. It started about 15 years ago when I moved back to the Lehigh Valley from Philly. I got all of my allergies tested and started getting shots. I've only had a few minor flare-ups and nothing as bad as what she's describing since I started getting the shots. She may want to get tested again and try allergy shots, even if she hates needles. But I don't know. That's kind of vague. I don't know what the allergy shots are.
Is there like a regimen of allergy shots that would cover everything? And is that the right way to approach treatment?
I don't think it's everything. I think it's I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's like specific,
right.
What your allergy is. Those may be able to help.
Okay, we got the miracle worker online, of course. I wasn't sure if he would call in or not. And Kathy, you're probably going to have to give him permission to speak about all of your medical issues and so on. Ladies and gentlemen from Fox 29, Penn Medicine as well, doctor to us all, Dr. Mike Cerita. Hey, Dr. Mike.
Kathy,
here
what?
We go.
Talk to you. Am I allowed to talk?
Yes, what?
Get your butt in here.
I was at the doctor yesterday.
Fine, but you're seeing all these specialists, and like I said yesterday, sometimes these things. Let me take my mask off. I'm choking because you're making me choke. Hold on. All right. Now, look. Sometimes rashes and things can be the sign, as I said.
I know. I'm dying. Yesterday, he tells me I have lupus and that I need to hurry up and come in.
Sometimes illnesses, systemic things, can lead to a rash. And that's why if you've seen Dr. Kildare and everybody else, and no one can figure it out. I even told you the story. I'm going to share this. I had a patient who had a rash. No one can figure it out. He went to 3 dermatologists. You know what he had? He had testicular cancer.
Wow.
No one checked that down there except me.
Kathy, and has anybody checked your testicles yet?
No, but the bottom line is that you can have systemic illness that leads to things like this. And look, Kathy, I love you. I'm not looking for work. And you can tell Bill Weston I'm not trying to drum up business.
Right.
I'm just saying you need a quarterback. You need someone to come in and go over everything and make sure that everybody's doing everything all right.
Has Kathy, have you had the battery of tests yet? All the blood drawn?
Yes,
and all that
he
stuff?
Wants to do it again.
No.
We've done this.
Wait a minute.
My liver's fine.
No.
All counts are normal.
she needs to, but there's more than blood work.
You're hernia check.
He tells me, this was the conversation yesterday. He goes, you have to do scans. I go, of what?
I don't know, because I haven't seen you in like 3 years. You need to come in.
Mike, do me a favor. I'm going to give you special clearance. Every time from here on in, when you have a phone telemedicine with Kathy, record those and send them in, please.
Well, I try to abide by HIPAA, but with a few of you, it's a challenge.
No, we give you carte blanche. And Dr. Mike is very good about it, by the way. He'll always say, I said, you got clearance. It's okay.
Well, you know, you got guys jumping off mountains. Yeah. I got him.
Right.
I've been busy with you.
I got him.
Look, Kathy, I love you with all my heart.
I know.
I'm worried. I just need to, you know, it's not like I think you're making it up. You just don't come in. I need to see you so I can be a good doctor and examine you.
Yes.
And see what the whole, because see, as a general internist, we look at the whole picture. We don't just look at your skin or allergies. Or
can you come to my everything. House?
What?
Can you come to my house?
Well, if you feed me, maybe.
Yeah, I'll make dinner.
Yo, you don't want that, Mike. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to bring a stomach pump.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my
I'll
God.
I'll order food.
I mean, you're killing. I wasn't going to call in, Preston. And then it kept going and going and going to where I was. I had to have a release. You
but
know,
listen, but listen, killing me. Dr. Mike, I mean, it's medicine is as... as specific as it can be and getting some answers, there are a lot of twists and turns and a lot of avenues to explore, and sometimes just you've got to keep testing, right?
So, Preston, did you guys watch Queen's Gambit?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
All right. You remember how she would have the chessboard up above her head on the ceiling?
Sure.
I swear to God, I play chess with the Grim Reaper every morning. You know, like every, I see the chessboard. And the Grim Reaper, you know, disease can present in ways that you just don't understand. And it can be very subtle. We call it sometimes paraneoplastic processes, where somebody has something going on somewhere. And I'm not saying you have a problem, but maybe there's something that's causing this. And it requires an investigation. That's all.
Well, and to the larger point here, it's also you not to make everyone hypochondriacal, but it does. That's, for example, an exact example of that, Mike, was going over to the doctor you sent me to at Penn, who looked at the achalasia and was able to diagnose my vitiligo and diagnosed achalasia in 5 seconds.
Steve, if you don't look, you don't find.
Right.
And the bottom line is that the Grim Reaper will grab you in the ass when you least expect it. I've seen it time. I've been doing this now for 30 years. And the bottom line is you don't take anything for granted. I always kid people. I'm like the Iron Dome. You know, Israel has the Iron Dome.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm the Iron Dome to you guys. And Kathy, my dome is you're killing my dome.
Listen, I think I'm going to be okay because my mom said to drink water and apple cider vinegar.
Oh,
so I'll be good.
God.
Thank you, though.
Well, I think she's probably going to eventually come on into you.
She's going to
get the battery.
Well, I just, you know.
Do
I'm
me
here.
A favor.
I'm
check her
looking,
testicles. You've got
I'm
his
not
word.
Looking for work.
That's
I
what he's yelling at me yesterday.
Sure.
I'm not looking for work.
I love you, but you're, you know.
He really cares. He wants you to get well. And you got to go see him, Kat.
Yeah.
Well, you got to go see him.
I'll make
Is it hard to find
you
time?
Wait. You know what she says yesterday?
It takes 3 hours.
I'm
going to
go over there and I'm going to wait for 2 hours. No, you're not going to. I'll get you in whenever you want.
No,
I'll
I know. Right. I appreciate it. And you said that yesterday and I will be in. Yeah, it is.
I love you.
It is hard to find time, but also because I'm visiting all of these doctors and they have me doing all these, like, you know what I mean? It's time consuming and he understood me yesterday. He said, I understand you're frustrated with this because it's been going on since February and we can't figure it out.
Okay. Well, you need a quarterback. That's all I'm going to say.
Listen, and Kathy,
somebody to oversee all the specialists and make sure that we're all on the same page.
Okay.
Dr. Mike has said I love you like 5 times and you haven't said it back.
I love you too. I'll call you. I'll be in.
All right.
All right.
All right. We love you,
guys.
Dr. Mike.
Love you.
Love you.
Right, we'll see
ya.
See ya.
He's the best doctor in the world, man. He's amazing. There are tons of calls. We can't go to them because we're out of time. We got TV to get to. I appreciate you guys calling in, and I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to go to you. But we're trying to figure out what's up with Kathy here, and it's just a listen. If it's not you, you know someone who has had a pernicious thing that they just can't figure out,
and it makes your life miserable.
It's frustrating, and the main frustrating thing is you know sometimes people won't believe you as well, or feel like your doctor doesn't believe you, or that you're making this type of thing up. So I know what that's like. I've had that before too. So all right, we'll give you updates on Kathy's health. daily.
It's an allergy of some sort. So once we figure it out, I'll let you know.
All right. We do need to take a break. We're coming back in a second. We go live on Fox Good Day. We are making an announcement when we get back too, which I think you're going to enjoy. So Back to School A to Z continues on top of all of that. We'll be right back.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, it is time to go on Fox 29. Good day. Here we go.
Like,
let's see how we're doing.
Chad or Debbie. So did you guys get the setup there? You think your viewers heard the setup?
No, probably not. We don't have any viewers. We actually have listeners. But anyway, a guy was sleeping. He was talking in his sleep. His wife overheard him say someone else's name. Was that correct?
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And now she's worried. What does this mean? Why is he saying another woman's name in his sleep?
Does it mean anything, Preston?
Okay, so if I were in bed,
yes,
with my husband,
yes, and he just started shouting out names,
right?
Steve.
Yes. Yeah.
Now my significant other would say, "Now listen, I would understand nothing's going on, but
it makes you wonder."
Yeah. You know, I would. My mind would immediately go to amorous thoughts, and maybe it was somebody from their past that they're talking about. I wouldn't immediately think that they're cheating, though.
Every other night, my wife will yell out in alphabetical order the names of the cast members of Madea Goes to Jail.
Wow.
Yeah, which is crazy.
That's weird.
Yeah, just that bizarre movie. But if I were to hear a name uttered by my wife during, I would just think it was part of a dream. I don't know. It's never happened, so I don't know how I'd react. Yeah.
Would you ask her about it? You said Carl in your sleep last night. Carl.
You're too much moaning, too. Or?
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
No,
if only to hear that sound of sex from Mike. that's him ordering at Carl's Jr., by the way.
I would definitely say something for sure.
Yes, if it sounded sexual.
Yeah. Or even not. I mean, I think I would absolutely say something, yeah.
Yeah.
When people talk in their sleep, it's hilarious. If you ever try to have a conversation with someone while they're sleep talking, it's the best.
It's fun.
Yes.
Have you ever had that? Have either of you ever had that happen with someone?
No. Do you guys walk in your sleep ever?
When I was a kid, I did one time, yeah. It's never been a lifelong problem, but it was weird.
I walk to the house of the woman whose name I'm shouting. So that's in my sleep. Yeah. No, I've never done that. But it's wild to see someone do that because you don't know what to do. You're told not to wake them up, right?
Oh, really?
I hear both sides. I hear both things. Yeah.
What happens if you wake them up?
They will kill you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm like, what?
They will murder you. No, I heard it's psychologically traumatizing.
Yeah.
Oh.
What's the old other one too? If your dream that you're falling and you do hit the ground, you'll die or something like that.
Has there ever been any clinical proof of someone? And how would you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No.
Looks like this guy died in his sleep. Yes. He was falling.
Look at him. He managed to write it in his journal before he died.
He died dreaming. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, guys, take care. We'll see you later. All right. We had skip traffic, so why don't we do that? NJM Insurance Group traffic, Kathy Romano, what's going on?
We've got jam traffic on the Vine, westbound the length 95 to the Schuylkill. There was an accident, but it looks like that is now gone. 95 southbound heavy from Cotman all the way through to Girard and then Ridley Park to the Blue Route northbound side, slowing near Ridley Park. City Avenue at Lancaster, we've got an accident. Watch for that. Schuylkill eastbound slowing 202 into Gladwin. City to Spring Garden, westbound University to South City to Belmont at Conshohocken, and then again at 202. The Blue Route. Yes, the Blue Route.
Where yes, the Blue
go?
Route.
There was an accident on the Blue Route, but it has left my screen. We'll go to White Marsh, Flower Town Road between Butler Pike and Joshua. We've got an accident. Traffic is being diverted around that. And then a Tacony-Palmyra Bridge opening in Fort Washington on 309 northbound at Highland Avenue. We still have that off-ramp that's closed. It's a down utility pole. And then throughout Fort Washington, there's still some storm damage. Fort Washington Avenue closed both directions between Pennsylvania Avenue and Susquehanna. Highland Avenue closed both directions between Commerce Drive and Bethlehem Pike. In New Jersey, 55 northbound jams north of Deptford to the 42 freeway, and then 42 north jams College Drive to 295. And actually, the accident is on 95 northbound at the Blue Route. It's off to the shoulder. This traffic report brought to you by Insperity, providing employee benefits, HR technology, payroll, and scalable HR services for 30-plus years. Insperity HR that makes a difference. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Doubling back to our conversation earlier, Kathy, about your swollen eyes and your swollen eyes and rash. Somebody texted and said, "I'll bet that the reaction is actually just anticipation that is building to Kathy's fall activities."
Oh, it might be.
And it's all building. Yeah. It's all building up, and you're about to explode with activity.
Yeah, it might be.
Okay.
Oh my God, that's it.
Something to consider.
Succulents.
Before we do the bizarre file, I have a major announcement.
Whoa!
Ladies and gentlemen, we introduce major announcement to you. This is actually, give me a drum roll.
Right.
This is
though I did like that.
We are excited to announce the return to this once again. It begins on Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to start winning cash again with MMR's Money Clips Contest. Yay! And it will begin, like I said, on Monday. It's your shot to win $500 seven times a day.
I love this, too. Listen, the A to Z and the money giveaway, this contest.
Yep.
Two of my favorites.
So we have this happening 8 a.m., 10 a.m., noon, 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. And you just tune in to those times. Each time, we will announce a keyword and give you 15 minutes after the hour, until 15 minutes after the hour, to enter that keyword. Three ways to do it. You can do it on the MMR app on your mobile device or the contest page at WMMR.com. And, of course, you can text it to a special contest number, which we'll have set up, which is 45911. But I'll remind you of that when we get started on Monday, because we will begin it. We will be the first ones to do it. One winner gets $500, and then everyone that enters via the app or WMMR.com, you may want to consider entering that way, because you'll be entered to win a $10,000 grand prize. And that's just for entering, okay? The complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com. But a reminder again, it is coming up this Monday, MMR's Money Clips Contest. I think we're going to be playing, like, clips from the radio station.
Yes.
Just to kick that off and remind you
Excellent.
That that's happening when it happens at 8, 10, noon, 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. So, we're excited to bring that to you once again. Let's do the Bizarre Pop.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Download the DraftKings app and use the code ROCK to get in on the action. We're going to start with this. This is an amazing story. A three-year-old boy who went missing in the Australian bush on Friday has been found safe, sitting in a stream and cupping water in his hands to drink after a search. And hundreds of people had been on search for Anthony A.J. Elphalak, who has autism and is nonverbal since he went missing from his family's remote rural property.
This is stunning, especially in that hard territory.
North of Sydney, late on Friday morning, the crew of a police helicopter spotted him sitting in shallow water in a stream late on Monday morning. He was only about 500 yards from his house.
Wow.
But he had been reported to be in good condition. He was taken to a hospital for observation. His father, Anthony, said that his son had been bitten by ants and he had diaper rash and suffered abrasions. But he said it's a miracle. He and his wife, Kelly, were obviously delighted with being reunited with their son. He said as soon as he heard his mom, he opened his eyes, looked at her, and he fell asleep.
Oh.
The boy was found in an area that had been searched before. Police are assuming he had spent the entire time in the woods, so he may have wandered off further and somehow or another found his way back a little bit closer.
Could you imagine the parents? You're going out of your mind.
Terrified. His ability to find drinking water was a key factor in his survival because of the danger of dehydration. Overnight temperatures in the area dipped as low as 6 degrees Celsius. The boy was kneeling in the stream when a state emergency service officer reached him. The officer stated that he turned towards him and a massive smile on his face that he will never forget is what he saw. The paramedic who examined the boy described him as a little survivor. He said, little AJ's condition is quite remarkable. He was very, very thankful, and I could see that in his eyes. Anthony reportedly slept in an ambulance after he was reunited with his parents and then woke up hungry. I thought that was a great story to start with. Here's another story of survival, but a medical team had to really work to get this together. In the first operation of its kind in Israel, one-year-old twins conjoined at the head were safely separated on Thursday. The twin sisters are expected to live a healthy life following the surgery. It was a medical team of over 50 people that had to do this.
That's crazy.
It was a moment of weeping and laughter with the family for the first time that the family can hold these babies separately. The surgery lasted more than 12 hours, and specialists in neurosurgery, plastic surgery, pediatric intensive care, and brain imaging were flown into the country. Two experts from London and New York were the ones that separated the twins from the head. The process leading up to the operation was lengthy. 3D models were used to simulate how to successfully separate the bones and blood vessels around the brain. Months ahead, the twins were given tissue expanders so the doctors could easily close their scalps after the surgery. Twins joined at the head are extremely rare. The University of Minnesota reported conjoined twins only occur once every 200,000 live births. So that's
something
pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, that elaborate is like a military operation.
Most definitely. All right, so I have two separate stories of people shouting different presidents' names in interesting situations.
All right.
So we'll start with this one. A Las Vegas man who berated a flight crew and fellow passengers on a plane Monday has been cited for public intoxication and disorderly conduct. He growled like a dog while he was taking his mask on and off his face. There's video of this, too, which is hilarious, by the way. He gave the middle finger.
Yeah, it's like that.
And swore at flight attendants, later yelling, God bless America, and screaming Joe Biden, according to the video taken by fellow passenger Dennis Bush.
Okay.
It happened on a flight from Los Angeles to Salt Lake City. Bush also wrote on Facebook that the man verbally targeted an Asian woman, saying that she and her companion, quote, didn't belong here. The 61-year-old man was arrested at the gate, where he was checked out of the hospital and cited.
I'm so sorry. I got a little crazy.
American Airlines confirmed the incident in a statement. The company also thanked the crew for their professionalism and customers for their understanding.
So this guy's so unhinged. Did they find anything? Like, was there prescription drugs or anything?
They said alcohol was a factor.
Because, man, oh, man, it's horrible, but it's also funny to watch because he's literally attempting to eat his mask.
Now, here's the other president screaming story. So he was yelling Joe Biden.
Right.
After fleeing from the scene of an auto crash he caused, a 25-year-old motorist who was married earlier in the day and appeared under the influence declared all hail Donald Trump before scuffling with Florida jailers who sought to restrain him. And the mugshot is great because it's one of those where they're actually holding his head.
Oh, no.
Like by the chin and back of the head to hold still so they can take a picture of him. Police charged that Nicholas...
They had to call in a child photographer.
Rutherford. Come on. Police charged... Police charged that Nicholas Rutherford was driving the wrong way on Avero Beach Street late Monday afternoon when he struck a vehicle traveling in the opposite direction. Rutherford ran from the scene of the crash. And we're looking at the pictures now. From the scene of the crash, which resulted in the hospitalization of the other driver. Ruthenberg, who was subsequently arrested near the crash site, was acting erratically and appeared as if he were under the influence of an unknown substance. But he failed a series of sobriety tests, but his blood alcohol level was 0.0, prompting police to ask him for a urine sample to determine the presence of a chemical or controlled substance.
I'm betting on that.
As police prepared the urine test, Ruthenberg started to, quote, take his pants off and then spread his buttocks, during which time he placed two fingers in his body cavity.
His own butt, huh?
Yeah. He was then placed back in handcuffs after that.
Two in the stink.
Yeah.
The reverse shocker.
Yeah.
Seldom seen.
That's Canadian style.
After later agreeing to undergo a drug evaluation, he began acting erratic again and was out of control, leading jail personnel.
I got a little crazy in there.
to again restrain him with handcuffs. His behavior, an investigator concluded, was consistent with someone under the influence of some kind of stimulant.
Sure. Has to be.
He was photographed struggling with jail personnel as they sought to take his mugshot. He was charged with DUI and leaving the scene of an accident. As seen in nuptial photos posted on Facebook earlier that day.
So how was he at the wedding?
He had gotten married, and then he was arrested. His bride turned 20 years old that day, by the way. He's 30, so wow. All right, and then I'm going to do one more. I know we're running out of time here, but this is yet another follow-up story to the lawyer in South Carolina.
Story just crazy.
His family was killed, and he was now shot. So he's from a prominent South Carolina legal family. Found his wife and son shot to death at their home 3 months ago. He was injured days ago when a bullet grazed his head as he changed a tire, taking money. Now he's being charged with taking money from his law firm, the business said late Monday.
This is the guy who might have faked
maybe
getting shot in the head.
Yeah, there's speculation that he may have shot himself.
Right, because it was just a graze.
So the statement from PMPED law firm came hours after Alex Murdaugh said that he was resigning and entering rehab. The law firm said it will hire an accounting firm to fully review its books. It didn't say how much money might be missing, but said Murdaugh was no longer associated with him anyway. And in fact, the law firm said in a statement, "This is disappointing news for all of us. Rest assured that our firm will deal with this in a straightforward manner. There's no place in our firm for such behavior." Hours before, Murdaugh sent out his own statement saying he regretted decisions he made, but didn't give any details. Just 2 days after reporting someone shot at him after his car had a flat tire along a rural road.
Listen, I'm not saying I didn't murder some people or shoot myself in the head. I did.
but apparently his wife may have been one of the people that was trying to find out if he was stealing money. And this thing,
That's one for Dateline.
That's a Dateline
story
for sure. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to remind you of a couple of things. The announcement we made earlier, we have another announcement coming up later on today. We also have a guest who's going to be joining us, who is Sarah Kalian.
She's awesome.
Who does investigations, true crime stuff. Really cool guest who we've had on many times. So maybe we can ask her about that story.
Following
that or not. But we'll take a break and come back in just a moment. So hang close.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You, Help You line.
This is Jamie from the Green Rock Tavern, home of the best burgers and pierogi in the city of Philadelphia. Located in the beautiful Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, 2546 East Lehigh Avenue. Best burgers and pierogi in the city of Philadelphia, go to Green Rock Tavern.
Next message.
Hi, this is Michelle from Paper Hanging by Ed Rossi. My husband Ed has been hanging wallpaper on the main line and in the Tri-County area for over 30 years. And here we're offering sales of the most popular wall coverings direct to our clients. Find us online at paperhangingbyedrossi.com or call us at 610-363-6737. We'd love to help you create a fresh new space in your home.
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
There's a piece of audio that I would like to play for you. This is from the Nick Jr. Twitter account, and I love this. It's Blues Clues host, Steve.
Yes.
And so it's him now, current day, and he has a message for those who grew up watching him.
Yeah,
so cool.
I agree. I was well past. I mean, you know, I was 81 when it for me. But it's so sweet that this was done. So
Blue's Clues. Yeah. So it's right in the heart of my kids' childhood.
Right.
So we watched it every day, and I loved it. It was just a cute show. It was very heartfelt. It was for younger kids. It was, right, you know, like toddlers. And so the premise is that, you know, Steve has this dog, Blue, and they live in this house. And Blue would like to play a game where Blue, she would leave little blue paw prints on certain things.
Right.
And Blue was trying to tell Steve something.
I didn't know Blue was a girl.
Yeah, Blue is a girl. And so so she would leave these clues around. And anyhow, he would find these items and then eventually would link them together and it would be some sort of phrase or, you know, something like that.
Hence Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues, exactly.
Right. And, but those kids have now grown up and are, you know, young adults.
And its pace would move kind of slow.
Right.
Which it had this comforting factor to it. And he would also teach a little bit of sign language as well. That he'd made sure he used, you know, for those that were hearing impaired so they could follow
along.
You're
my boy!
That's one of the clues.
That's where it came from. So anyhow, Steve explains, because he leaves at some point.
Yes.
And his brother Joe comes and takes over. And the show continued, but Steve had left. And so he had to go off to college is the way they played it. And it just happened out of nowhere. And he addresses this. Here we go.
You remember how when we were younger, we used to run around and hang out with Blue and find clues and talk to Mr. Salt, freak out about the mail and do all the fun stuff. And then one day I was like, oh, hey, guess what? Big news. I'm leaving. And we didn't see each other for like a really long time. Can we just talk about that? Because I realized that was kind of abrupt. I just kind of got up and went to college. And then look at you, and look at all you have done, and all you have accomplished in all that time. And it's just so amazing.
So, yeah, we've edited a little bit of it here. It's like a two-minute long thing. And then he talks about, he's talking to you.
Yeah.
So he's talking to the people that have grown up.
That grew up
that
with the show.
Watched it and are now adults.
Yeah.
And Nick, by the way, he's from Boyertown.
That's right.
Yeah, Steve Burns is from Boyertown.
Who did we have at the Camp Out for Hunger?
We had Steve.
Okay.
But it was in the infancy of the Camp Out for Hunger. It was way back when. It was shortly after Kathy joined the show, I believe.
It was in Plymouth Meeting.
It was in Plymouth Meeting, yeah.
Back there.
What's that?
We should go back there.
So anyhow, he goes on to talk directly to the people that grew up watching him.
All the help that you helped me with when we were younger is still helping me today, right now. And that's super cool. I guess I just wanted to say that after all these years, I never forgot you. Ever. And I'm super glad we're still friends. Thanks for listening. You look great, by the way.
Dude, I started getting choked up while I was watching this. Started thinking about my kids. I have to show this to Parker and Carter. Because I think it was, I don't know if Caroline really watched Blue's Clues, because it was, well, I guess she did watch some of it. I don't know if she knew Steve as well, though. And then there was a third guy on board.
Yeah, another guy.
I don't remember who that was.
Mm.
No.
Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein. Hell no.
I'm so glad we found another clue. Oops, my robe fell open.
Oh my God.
Look right there, little blue paw print.
That's all my testicles.
And now it's ruined.
I just totally ruined.
Steve, Kevin, and Donovan, apparently.
Okay. Yeah.
Or were the presenters?
Steve, my. Kevin, what about Joe?
Joe? I thought Joe was the immediate replacement after Steve.
Joe was the second guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, anyway, what were you going to say, guys?
So my niece is around Parker's age, so she turned 21 in May.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, the little kid stuff from when she was a baby.
It's
and
adorable.
For her, it was, well, the book was like Goodnight Moon, but the TV show was... Did your kids ever watch Bear in the Big Blue, or in the Big House?
Oh God. Like Jail?
No.
Yeah, in the Big House. Bear in the Big House.
I was going to say Big Blue.
I'm innocent!
Bear in the Joint. Had been incarcerated.
You stay away from my ass.
Yeah, I do remember Bear, but we didn't watch it regularly, but yes.
It is Big Blue House. Okay.
Yeah, Bear in the
Big House. Big House.
Well, so it's funny because I recall my older brother, there was a song being played in like the CD player. It was from the soundtrack from that. And he was like singing along with it. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's so ridiculous. And then I went ahead and had children and I I totally understood. It's like, yes.
Oh, my
God. These things are on repeat so often that you can't help but, you know, get into it as well.
Well, so you're sort of tacitly getting involved because you're seeing your kids respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, do you remember from your childhood that what would have been your Blues Clues?
Oh, Sesame Street.
Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers.
Mine was your show of shows with Cindy. No.
Cuckoo Fran and Ollie, maybe? Yeah.
No. There used to be a little bit of Captain Kangaroo.
Yes, Captain Kangaroo, for sure.
There was also a the Newsoo Review going back. And then there was also a thing where this girl during the day, you know, when I was only going, you know, to kindergarten or whatever, she had like a cartoon show, very nice Mr. Rogers-y type of thing. And she would bring out a lunch tray and sit down and eat lunch, and you would eat lunch with her. So my mother got me a tray that I could sit in front of the TV set. And
What was, where she would look at the mirror and say, I see Kathy and I see Casey and
Bobby and Johnny and Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, who was that?
I don't remember.
Why can I not remember that? And they had these little things called romper stompers.
Was it romper room?
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Romper room.
Romper stompers was also a white supremacist
right,
movie.
Right, yes. Yeah. That was with
you were in this room. God with these damn. Romper
Australian
romper
actor.
Yeah, the magic mirror.
Gladiator with
I can't remember his
Russell
name.
Russell Crowe.
Okay. Thank you. Romper Stompers. Anyway, a lovely little kid show about white supremacists. Yeah.
The one that was a little left to center when I was a child was The Great Space Coaster. It was the one that it was trying to be something else. It was trying
Great Space
it,
Toaster?
Well, no. It was trying to be Sesame Street meets Sid and Marty. Marty
right,
Puffin?
Right, okay. Yeah.
It was like
H.R. Puffin stuff.
It was like somewhere in between that. And then, so not a lot of people remember that one. But
I remember the Great Space Coaster. So I would see the shows pop up. Obviously, I was, again, well past the age that they were targeting at that time.
But you know who... it was the Goodnight Show, Preston, on Sprout. Mm-hmm. Nina, what's she up to these days?
You guys had a crush on her, right?
We wanted to have her on the show, and they said no.
They said no way.
It was a local production. They were down at Center City.
No!
Center City Film and Videos, where they did it.
What? Why? Did they think we would be too salacious?
Yeah, we professed our love for her on air and talked about how hot she was several times.
And so, it was a little kid show.
Yeah, it was PBS Kids.
I don't know if I ever saw a picture of her.
She's so pretty.
It was a big comfy couch, right?
She had the star that would hang out with her.
Yeah. It was called Goodnight Show, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And they did the big comfy couch, I think. And
she was annoying.
Lazy Town was a big one as well.
She was annoying?
If it's the one that used to do the clock?
I don't remember.
With her legs and her
she would
arms?
Do the clock with her legs.
You can do a clock with their legs is okay in my book. Yeah, this girl's attractive. We're looking at pictures of her right
now. Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
she had a big... No, who? The other girl used to do the clock, and she would get on a big couch.
I'm going
to
do the clock right now. Stand back.
With her legs.
Put a tarp down.
If anybody knows what
she did.
Kathy's talking about...
Legs.
Wait, is it that one? So Big Comfy Couch and Goodnight Show were two different things.
Yeah.
The Big Comfy Couch show had the girl kind of...
The annoying girl.
Yeah, she had a... like a clown nose on.
Yeah, and she used to wear striped leggings, and that was the
Is that the clock one?
Yeah, that was the one leg of the clock, and then her arms were the other leg. Right.
So she would do the clock.
Yes. Different gal. With her legs?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like up in the air?
Connor, can you pull up a video? Kathy. Like she would lay on the ground.
Yeah, at 3 o'clock, the clock,
No.
Akimbo.
Put your legs on the ground, and she was like laying in a circle, and so she would move her legs and her arms to make a certain time.
At 3 and 9 o'clock, the clock would take her from behind. And then at 6 o'clock, she'd be laying on the ground.
I wonder why we don't get these guests.
I know what you were thinking.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, this clock.
Ooh.
Nice beaver.
Watch that in the Daily Rush later on. Oh, my God. You know what? I didn't watch that show, so I don't know. Hold on. Marissa is gesturing.
Did you guys watch The Elephant Show?
No.
Sharon, Lois, and Bram. They were the ones that was skinnamarinky dinky dink.
Oh, yeah.
Skinnamarinky doo.
That was called Elephant?
I love you.
No.
It was like a Nickelodeon 80s show, I guess.
Yeah, my brothers watched that. They were a little bit younger than me, probably closer to your age, Marissa, and so they watched that. I know that song.
We're seeing the clock here as to what you. So she would actually lay on her back, by the way, this other actress of this other show, and she was laying on a clock using her legs as the hands of the clock.
Right.
I get it now.
Yeah. She was very flexible.
Yes.
By the way.
Well, Nina and Sprout, she would stretch too. The Sprout stretches.
Look what she just did with the ping pong ball.
She could shoot that thing.
This is children's program. What are you watching, son?
Wow. Okay. Well, anyhow, hang on a second. Somebody knows the name of her. I'm going to go to Emily. Emily, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, Emily?
So, I was just, the name of the clown is Lunette the Clown from Big Comfy Couch.
Lunette the Clown.
Lunette the Clown from Big Comfy Couch. Yeah, okay.
And they had, you know, the Dust Bunnies and the cat, Nickel Fritz.
Okay. She was a little annoying, right?
Yeah, she was,
What was your kid show then, Kathy? What show did you was part of your formative years?
Oh, Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers.
Okay.
That was, I actually don't even know if I watched anything else.
Anything else?
Yeah, as a little kid, that was pretty, well, The Electric Company was also on. That was kind of the companion to
that was like
Sesame Street.
Yeah, so that predates, so that and is after the fact.
Morgan Freeman and Rita Moreno were on that show. And a couple other actors went on to do some things, too.
Top-notch people. Carrie's making mention of a show called Wonderama. Do you remember the show, Preston?
No. Carrie, good morning.
Hey, guys. Wonderama, I think, was only on the weekend.
Yeah, it was on Sunday mornings, and it was the host was a guy named, there are two hosts, Sonny Fox and Bob McAllister.
McAllister, that's the name. And also that the Magic Garden with Carol, and they had the flowers that sat on the swing under the tree.
That's it. So Wonderama had Think the Price is Right for kids. And at the end, the kids would get these, like, all these prizes for being on the show, and I'm like, oh, these lucky bastards.
Yeah, right. Bozo used to give away prizes.
So Bozo, yes.
He'd give away a Schwinn bike.
It's a Bozo no-no.
Which is the thing, so. Wow. Okay. Well, listen, there's a couple other things I want to get to.
Right.
Sorry about that.
Right.
Hang on a second. Somebody said my husband worked on the Good Night Show, and Star was a little perverted between takes.
Star was the puppet.
Hanging
out with Nina.
Okay, I could see that.
So Star had a sense of humor, too.
So there are a couple of stories I want to get to. I make sure I don't want to miss out on, because they have some dates that are sensitive. And technically, this is City Beat. And
is it?
I didn't even mean to do the City Beat, but yeah, one is right.
It's just like yesterday when you didn't mean to do the noticer, but you did it anyway.
It's a lot like that.
City Beat is light and loose.
Marissa would be very happy to hear that Hop Sing Laundromat in Chinatown, which closed in March of last year, just before the shutdown of bars and restaurants, is going to reopen tomorrow.
Is Hop Sing Laundromat the place? Is that, if people come into town, Marissa, is this the place that you say you must go to?
I mean, it is the best cocktail bar in the city, would say. It can be a little intimidating, I'd say. I would go there with somebody who's been there before. They do have a dress code.
Well, I'm going to run down the details. Yeah. It's written in this article of how you get in and what happens. Mm-hmm. So because the seating at the bar has been reduced, parties will be limited to four people. Proof of vaccination cards will be required at the door. No photos or copies accepted. But since its opening in May 2012, Hop Sing has adhered to stringent policies as it racked up national attention from outlets such as Esquire and Condé Nast Traveler.
Uh-huh.
So you push the buzzer at an unmarked gate, which is 1029 Ray Street. You await a host. It's usually the owner, who simply goes by Le.
What do you want?
And dubs the place the world's best North Korean cocktail bar. The host goes over the house rules, which include no photos, no cell phones, no flip-flops, sandals, or shorts. Sneakers were actually banned at the opening, but the sneaker policy was relaxed in 2017. It's cash only, which is apparently rare because the bar at a bar where drink prices start in the high teens, so you're going to pay like $20 for a cocktail easily to start at.
You got to be packing some heavy cash if you're going to go cash. There, yeah.
You hand over your ID, right? And they hang on to it, right, Marissa?
What?
Yeah. And then, I'll keep your mic up, by the way. Then you head up a few stairs inside. You sit on a former church pew in the anteroom, whose floor is covered in pennies, by the way.
Mm.
Then there's a short speech outlining the rules of decorum at Hop Sing's windowless, ornate, candlelit room, whose actual bar with no seating is covered in nickels. And during your lecture, your ID is being scanned to be sure that you are not among the 4,857 people that are on the banned list. meaning that they ban people from the bar regularly. The owner will bounce patrons for a multitude of transgressions, including tipping meagerly, acting unruly, taking photos, like you can't even do selfies in the bathroom. And it's all in the name of respectability, but he seems to be to enjoy banning people and trolling Yelpers on his Facebook feed.
So this is part of creating the myth of the place that makes it enticing. The same way that Studio 54 years ago, you know, you'd have to pass muster, get past Steve Rubell to get in. This is the same sort of scenario.
So, I mean, I know it's entirely subjective, but like what makes it the best cocktail bar in the city?
I'll tell you, it is beautiful. It's beautiful inside. It's magnificent. The artwork inside is really cool. He has all these collections of like old prescriptions for alcohol during Prohibition and really cool records and things like that on the wall. Like I said, when you walk in, the entire floor is covered in pennies.
See, I thought you were, when you said that, you were saying that the cocktails were the best. But you're just saying ambiance.
She's always told me the cocktails are amazing.
I'm going to get there, Casey.
Okay.
The bar top is covered in nickels. There's, I don't know, thousands of nickels, and one of them is turned over. So if you're lucky enough to even get to stand at the bar, you can look for that. The cocktails are the best cocktails in the city, hands down. Lee has a great cocktail program. He makes them at a couple other bars around the city. You were saying you have to be, like, rolling in cash to be there. Two drinks and you're done. Like,
all right. It's because of the cocktails?
Yeah, they are strong. Wait. And they are great. And I've actually done table cocktails, which now is probably not good in COVID time. We talk about table pancakes. You know about table, you guys have accepted that. They have a screwdriver.
We've never accepted that.
Just Preston.
I have not.
We acknowledge its existence. Yeah. We're all right with it.
I think you had done that before me. No, you're
her
not
fork
food.
Touching
you
the food
think
that another
I'm
fork.
Share food with someone? You out of your mind? How long have we known each other?
What if you look across the table and you see Kathy's eyes closing shut? And
it's
a pancake with you.
Maybe I'm catching whatever you have, Kathy.
I am. I think I'm thinking of something different. So this bar that we're talking about, what? This is not the karaoke bar.
No.
What
no,
is that?
No.
That's another place. Steve and I went to that place a long, long time ago in Chinatown.
That's what I thought. That was really cool, too.
You guys shot a show there, like an NBC 10
we did.
Like, segment.
Yeah, it was very cool.
We were tasting their food and we were checking out the karaoke bar. That was a really cool joint,
what the hell
too.
Is that
and
called?
I've forgotten the name of it.
That's pretty, like.
Well, we're big city.
Right.
Yeah.
What the hell is. What is Philly Jack's then?
That's where you can go pleasure yourself.
That's a circle jerk.
All right, stop it. Hold on.
I remember the gal at the karaoke bar who owned it was just. Beautiful gal. I forgot her name.
That was a PR person.
Oh,
no. I thought we hung out with the owner. All right, anyway.
What was the name of it?
Yakitori Boy.
Yeah, that's it.
They have, like, private rooms to do karaoke in there.
Okay.
But, I mean, yes, it's intimidating, and we joke about this, but, like, just go to Hop Sing. If you've been there,
I just want to try these cocktails. Because you've been raving about those for a long time. I love great atmosphere and everything. That's not necessarily what I'm going for.
Right.
See and be seen. Screw that. I want a good drink. So that's why I would.
You are a cocktail fan.
I am a cocktail fan.
It might behoove you to do that. Now, we saw a shot, Marissa, that where each table appeared to have a lit candelabra. Is that what you find there, or is that just, okay, in this picture, there is not?
Yeah, it's mostly candlelight inside.
Right.
It's very dark.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And do you know them, Marissa?
Lee is the owner. Yes. I've been getting text messages all throughout COVID from him. I got a birthday message. I usually get a holiday
look at this.
Message from
You're
him,
in the
so.
Know. Then I need to go with you.
Let's go.
Will you take me?
I would love to.
Done deal.
Don't worry, Preston.
When you go, have like a huge 35mm camera around you.
right. Hanging around my neck.
With one of those old big flash, but like the really big ones.
Stand still.
Yeah.
And, you know, the old magnesium flash.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you not hear?
You eject it. That's what I'll wear around my neck.
I can't wait.
All right. One more thing from the City Beat. Definitely has to be brought up this morning. And this one is coming up. A replica of Moe's Tavern from The Simpsons is opening.
Oh, yeah.
At the Springfield Mall in Delaware County. And it starts on Friday.
Okay, so they must be putting that on the first floor where they've had a couple of other pop-ups in the mall. There was one, it was like one of those burger pop-ups.
Okay, so this is a pop-up. Yeah, so it starts Friday, runs through September 26th at Moe's Tavern, which is presented by JMC Pop-Ups. Patrons are encouraged to cosplay as their favorite character from The Simpsons. It will feature a menu that has a Simpsons theme, number of dishes that feature chicken and fries, like Homer's chicken tenders, Marge's spicy fried tenders, and Lenny's grilled tenders. Other items Other items include Carl's loaded chips, Moe's magic mushrooms, which are mushrooms stuffed with sausage and four cheeses, Level 5 vegan.
No shake and bake pork chops.
Which is fresh pico de gallo with specialty chips and Barney's mozzarella sticks. Kids age 7 and under can munch on a hot dog or a grilled cheese sandwich off of the children's menu. Those of you with a sweet tooth, though, Casey, can have the Drunken Donuts Shake, which is a beverage that offers thick vanilla ice cream in a commemorative glass topped off with two large pink frosted donuts, hand-decorated pretzel rods, and a treat in the shape of a Simpsons character.
Now, do they offer the Flaming Moe? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. I didn't read that here. When you go to Universal?
Yeah.
And did you go into Moe's at Universal?
I did not.
So
no.
You can get a Flaming Moe there.
Okay.
And you can get Duff and all that
stuff.
Is it
made with cough syrup like the original?
I don't think they make it with like that.
Weren't the Chili Peppers involved with that episode? Is it the Chili Peppers or Aerosmith? With this Moe's.
It was Aerosmith.
Was it Aerosmith? Okay. Did they serve booze?
They can't.
Yeah, I don't think they can.
Huh, so you're going to
Well, wait a minute. No. They have beer, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Duff.
Yeah, every adult ticket includes one of the menu's items above a beverage, choice of a custom labeled craft soda. Oh, no. Duff Dough Beer or custom labeled water. Well, no, it says Duff Dough Beer.
What the hell?
I mean, so, listen.
I saw them drinking beer.
And a commemorative patch and key ring.
Just, I don't know if maybe they have a roving liquor license. I don't know how that works. I also don't know if beer is the same thing. If you need a license for, you know, for beer, if you're not
beer?
Selling. Well, no, but if there's no liquor involved or if beer is liquor, I don't know how all that stuff works.
Aren't there pop-up beer tents?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but like when they have that, I think they have a liquor license.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Marissa.
Well, no, they do like beer events at the zoo and things like that.
They get a temporary license.
I don't know.
Yes, you can get a temporary, for special events. Absolutely.
Yeah, if you own a brewery, you can use a catering license or like a farmer's market license. It's kind of the same thing. And Evil Genius in Fishtown actually made a beer for this pop-up called Moe's Pale Ale.
That is correct, yes.
You should go as Disco Stew, Preston.
Yes. And it will be available at the Pop-Up Tavern. So there you go, yeah. Case. Yeah.
All right.
The brewery also plans to bring a few more drinks, including its year-round Simpsons drink named Purple Monkey Dishwasher, which is a chocolate peanut butter porter. Joe McCullough, the founder of JMC Pop-Ups, said that he tried to inject as much of the Simpsons as he could into the installation of Moe's Tavern, and that means that fans will find orange and green diamond-shaped windows, a pool table and a replica neon sign that says beer is the answer.
So are we to assume that they have legal clearance to do this? Because you remember there was that place that had like the, instead of the Krusty Krab, it was the Rusty Krab or something.
Marissa,
like that.
You want to comment on that?
I saw a story where one of these got shut down recently. So I did a little digging and it seems like everything is nothing blatantly says Simpsons on it.
Okay. Well, it says here JMC Pop-Ups isn't the first company to do a Simpsons installation. Earlier this summer, according to Culture Map, two bars in Texas planned to transform their business into Moe's Tavern and the Krusty Burger, the top burger joint in the cartoon named for Krusty the Clown. I would assume they have permission, but maybe not.
And
oh, wait.
These are the same guys that did the McDowell's.
We have have Joe, who is running the Moe's Pop-Up on the line. Joe, good morning.
Morning, Preston. Steve, how you guys doing?
Good, man. So you're behind this whole thing?
We are.
Okay. And are you with the pop-up company? I've lost the name here.
Yeah, I'm Joe McCullough from JMC Pop-Up.
Oh, all right, you're the JMC. Cool. Excellent, man. So, all right, can you answer that question? Is this sanctioned or are you guys just kind of running with it?
This is not. We're a parody.
Oh, okay.
All right.
We are more heavily focused on the Moe's Tavern aspects of The Simpsons. We have some fun things in there that kind of cross over.
Okay.
All right. So you walk the line, and that's how you get away with it. But so you did the McDowell's as well, did you not?
Yes, we did.
All right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All this stuff is great. So if I may ask, can you reveal anything else you have in future planning?
There might be a McDowell's in the works.
Another McDowell's. All right.
So are you going to be in where the Gap used to be?
We are not. We actually had our Galaxy Burger there in January.
Yeah.
But we are currently where the old Justice was on the second floor.
Okay.
Huh. So this opens up on Friday?
This does, yeah. I mean, it's a total conversion. You walk up to the outside, you step inside basically the storefront of what used to be Justice. There's the full facade of Moe's. You walk through the doors, and it feels like you're inside Moe's.
Oh, dude.
The bar, we
That's
got
pretty
the
cool.
We got the love tester machine.
Oh, that's great. How long did it take you guys to get all that stuff together?
We did a complete build-out in a little over 3 weeks.
That's okay. Not bad.
That's great. Do you have the big jar of eggs on the bar?
We do have deviled eggs on the jar. We got a spider fig display. We got the vintage cash register. We got all this stuff.
What, about
life, including a jukebox that doesn't work?
Do you have it in your storage room? Do you have panda bears, as Mo kept?
We believe it or not, we've got a ladies' room that is actually converted to Mo's office, and there might be a surprise panda bear.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
You know what
that's
I would excellent. Love to see? I would love to see an actual Cheers, like, because if you've ever been to Cheers in Boston, it looks nothing like the TV show.
No, the outside does, but the inside
and that,
is.
And that's yeah, it. Yeah. But I would love to be able to walk into a bar.
They had some replicas that were like kind of like that. Like,
In airports.
Yeah. I went to one in Detroit airport. I had a long lay over there, and there was a Norman Cliff sort of cut out at the end. And it was meant to look like Cheers. I think it was even licensed for it or whatever. But, hey. I mean, yeah, the one in Boston, I think it's the Bull and Finch, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's totally different.
Joe, do you have any of the characters represented or any of the bartenders going to be trying to pull off their best Mo impression?
We got a couple characters trying to pull that off. Opening night, we have actually a little bit of live entertainment with some acoustic music with a guy who does some pretty good Mo's impersonation.
All right.
And will he be serving alcohol?
So that's the main reason that made me call into you guys, just to clarify. So, yeah, we do have beer. Evil Genius is actually doing our custom brew for Mo's.
All right. And we assume it's a sort of a Duff Riff, right?
It's more of a craft beer.
Okay.
Than a Miller Lite.
Okay. Nice.
Okay. All right.
And I read there's also like a pub crawl thing that you can do with stamps around the stores, right?
So there is. Part of our objective with JMC Pop-Ups is people bring people back to the malls.
Yeah.
So basically, we have the one spot that you can go to, you hang out in, your ticket provides you with food, one drink, whether it's a custom craft Moe's labeled soda or a beer, and you get some swag with each level of ticket. As you go up in the ticket, you get more swag.
All right.
But you go to your pub crawl out in the mall, you take photos, or you get a stamp at participating stores on your sheet for the pub crawl, you come back, you get a special limited edition Moe's Pub Crawl 2021 pin for completing your pub crawl.
Nice.
We got good beers by Evil Genius. They're excited. They're bringing our craft for Moe's, and they're bringing some of their extra stuff, including Purple Monkey Dishwasher, which is their parody of The Simpsons anyway.
I love it.
All right. Sounds good, man. So and begins this Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Very cool.
Goes to the end of the month. Nice.
All right, man.
All right. Well, good luck with everything, Joe. Thanks for checking in, man.
All right, everybody. Thanks.
All right, we'll see you later. Joe McCullough.
Yeah, how about
all right,
that?
So yeah, that starts tomorrow. And that could be a fun thing to do. Fun thing for you to get out and try just to change things up.
Change it up,
bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and that's all we have time for right now because we have a guest coming up. So the City Beat's done. However, she's got a show in town. It's kind of City Beat-ish. This is Sarah Kalen that we're going to be talking to. And she does this really cool true crime podcast thing. And,
it's great.
Does these live shows, and this one's going to be at the Khyber Pass. So we'll talk true crime because the story's fascinating. We've had her on many times. We'll get to that when we come back and remind you about MMR's Money Clips. Yeah, we made an announcement. Tell you about that when we get back. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
So we love having our next guest on. She's actually got a show tomorrow night at the Devil's Den. That's sold out, by the way. But September 22nd, there's another show at the Khyber Pass. Tickets, we'll tell you how to get those in a moment. But she handles true crime stories, mm-hmm. and she themes them, which is really cool. And not only is she a true crime aficionado, she's also a special investigator. She actually does work to try and solve cold cases.
Consultations and everything, yeah.
But this show is called Gnarly Carnage, Murder 80s Style. Mm-hmm. And so, is there music involved or no?
No.
Okay, I thought you were getting ready to play some music. We don't need no music.
No.
Please welcome Sarah Kaleen.
Hey,
so Sarah.
There is actually, I'm putting a pre-show and intermission playlist together. So,
and so you should.
My favorite 80s music.
The 80s is rife with awesome tunes and great one-hit wonders. So you're going to have plenty of songs to choose from. That's cool.
Yep.
So listen, Sarah, you know, with the 1980s, you know, which was kind of my era. I was a teenager and growing up then, so I was quite aware of all the things that were happening. And there were some high-profile murder cases, as is always throughout humanity. But what are some of the ones that that you recall and maybe highlighting in the show coming up?
Well, I'm like you. I'm maybe just a smidge younger, but I, you know, was born in the mid-70s, and so I really came up through the 80s. And actually, that was where I first really developed the fascination with crime. Somebody posted on Twitter a few days ago or tweeted asking people what's the first news event that they remember. And the two that sprung to mind when I went back and looked at them had happened right on each other's heels. And one was the disappearance and then the ultimate recovery of the grisly murder of Adam Walsh.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
To then become America's
because
I was the same age as Adam at the time. And so it really stuck with me. And then the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan. So I've kind of been like, you know, had my interest obviously piqued by crime from an early age. So in the show, we're definitely hitting a couple of the greatest hits of all time. One of the ones that I'm really excited to talk about from a different lens, because anybody who's been to my shows knows that I don't like to just come in and regurgitate something you can find on Wikipedia. I really want to talk about it in terms of how we look at it through our current lens, how we look at it investigatively, psychologically, and even some of the societal implications or the factors that led to it, right? So the one that really jumps to mind that I'm going to spend a lot of time on is what was known as the Preppy Killer.
That's what I was going to ask about. Yep. Yeah, I remember that.
It was a big story.
And I've forgotten the fate. I remember he got arrested and... Yeah, if you could recount a little bit of that just to refresh the memory.
I kind of feel like saying you should come to the show, but of course anybody can Google it between now and then. So, Robert Chambers was his name. He was arrested and charged with Jennifer Levin's murder within 48 hours of it having happened. But the big issue and kind of what we're going to focus on a lot is the victim blaming and this sort of, you know, framing the victim as asking for it.
She liked it rough and something like that, right? Yeah.
And absolutely. And so as a result, he ultimately, it was a mistrial and they put him down to manslaughter and he could have been out in 5 years, but he was such a POS even in prison that he ended up having to, and just problematic. He was constantly caught with drugs in prison and causing fights and stuff like that. And he's a huge guy, 6'4", like 200 plus. So he ended up doing the full 15 years, but not long after he got out, he got busted again as part of a heroin trafficking ring. And he was in prison.
It's wild because this guy really was. He was the epitome of what they would call a preppy at the time. He was a good looking guy. I believe he came from money, correct?
Well, that's one of the things we're going to talk about are some of the some of the myths and misconceptions about Robert Chambers.
Right.
And the way he was painted, you know, just to, again, not too many spoilers, but there are lots. So we're going to talk about lots of cases in the show. So he actually wasn't very wealthy. His family, they weren't indigent, but they were what we would kind of in the 80s classified as sort of working middle class.
All right.
So his dad worked actually in like VHS and cassette distribution. His mom was a nurse. But his mom was a private nurse to a lot of wealthy families.
I got you.
Kennedys.
Yeah.
So that's how she ended up kind of sliding him in the back door to a lot of these prep schools and stuff.
All right. So he ran with that crowd, but that was the whole deal. Yeah, that was, and that story seemed to go on forever. There were ones, if you talk about obviously everyone's familiar with the trajectory of the O.J. Simpson case and all of that. And it just seemed to go on and on forever. Some of them come and go quickly, but some of them just are just captured the public's interest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like the Ira Einhorn and all of those, all that stuff, which to you represents the quintessential? Is it the OJ that just absolutely galvanized and caught everyone's attention?
It certainly is one of probably the top five. And in fact, at the time, it's funny that you would say that it just sort of went on and on, because at the time that it happened, I remember I was in college at the University of the Arts before I went into law enforcement. I was actually in theater, and I was in school at UArts and working at TLA Video in Center City. And I remember seeing the chase like on TV. I think I was at work or something when the chase happened. And I moved to London for school later that year. And I remember following the progress of the case when I was in London. And then I finished like almost a year of school, moved back to the States, was in a different state when the trial happened and the verdict came.
Yeah, right.
So, it, you know, I sort of feel like, geez, did that, you know, cover like 10 years?
Yeah.
It really did go on. And we're not going to talk about that one because that's a 90s case. But we are going to talk about another case that was sort of treated by the media the same way, which is the murder of Dorothy Hope Stratton.
I don't remember that. You have to refresh.
So, well, at the time, she went by the name Dorothy Stratton. She was a Playmate of the Year.
It was Star 90. Star 80, that's right. Yeah.
Starting to do work in a lot of like sort of more traditional films. She was really, really an up-and-coming star, and she was murdered by her husband, and in the same way that it's framed, and the same way that OJ's case is framed, and this is something I talk about a lot because it's one of the areas I focus on in my actual, you know, investigative work. We see these cases where they're sort of not celebrated, but they're focused on as very salacious and exciting and also really rare, like one in a million, when in fact a lot of these cases are the very tragic but mundane end result of very typical domestic violence.
Right.
And the more we treat them as these kind of like, wow, this is so wild and crazy, the more people turn away and sort of shut their eyes to the prevalence of domestic violence.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, and domestic violence, even if you aren't just working on like trying to help the victims and the survivors of it and prevent that act itself, domestic violence is also the single biggest predictor of mass violence. So when we're starting to see, but for the last two decades where we've been seeing all these, you know, mass shootings and these sort of like spree stabbings and stuff like that, it is no work at all for me inside of a minute to go back into that person's background and find domestic violence charges or accusations. And so, you know, if we want to address these mass killings, one of the things we need to do is address the prevalence of domestic violence.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, going Sorry, back to what, what?
I'm making it.
No.
It's interesting.
Cool. Yeah. It's true. I wanted to go back to what Steven said as far as a crime story capturing the nation's attention. I assume, even though it predates all of our times, but I would assume the Lindbergh baby kidnapping was probably the biggest one ever. I mean, you're talking about the nation's biggest hero and something like that happens. Is that ever a case you've looked into?
I've not looked into it a ton. I mean, I've watched some documentaries on
right.
it. And actually, the Arden Theater Company, where I used to work, premiered a show called Baby Case, which was actually a musical about the guy.
okay.
Yeah. it sounds silly, but it's a really fascinating investigation of whether or not, you know, he was wrongfully charged, whether or not societal prejudices, you know, led to him being convicted prematurely, stuff like that. So,
wow.
It's a fascinating one. But what I have found, because at my shows I like to do a lot of digging and focus on these older cases, because it is a little easier for the audience to kind of have some fun.
Sure.
Talking right. about a case that happened in like the
1800s. It doesn't feel as ghoulish.
And it feels like you kind of have there's a permission structure.
Right.
And no matter what, in any of my shows, we, you know, I always preface the show saying that We always punch up. So we never, there are no laughs ever at the expense of a victim.
Right.
There is a lot of laughing at idiot suspects and bad police
work. Okay.
So, yeah, so we these shows are fun. It's not just me, I promise, lecturing people about domestic violence. But, you know, what I have found in digging up some of these historical cases is how many cases, especially pre-TV, captivated the nation, where they would, you know, they would be followed in the papers
right.
for months, and then crowds would gather at the courthouses to watch the verdicts and stuff. And one of the most interesting things I found, which still holds true today, is that if you can go back, the ones where there are photographs, like old photographs
and yes.
daguerreotype type stuff, you will see then as now, the audience is overwhelmingly female.
No kidding.
That is one of the amazing, so much so that SNL did a parody about the women watching, you know, it's murder porn, basically. But I think there is, I've always been fascinated with it. I've always been fascinated with, you know, and it's just because it's so anomalous to anyone who's sane. And, you know, it functions in the world normally, whatever normal is, that you can't help but look at it and say, how, why, what happened? Like you were talking about old stories. The story that I recently revisited is the Leopold and Loeb, the rich young men who were very brilliant and wanted the thrill of killing people. And yeah. and so devised that. And that, what was that, the 20s that took place?
Yeah, I think that was late teens or early 20s. And that's another one that you can really go down the rabbit hole of criminal psychology in that. That's an example of a case, and I will cover not that one, obviously,
yes.
but a similar one in this 80s event of a phenomenon we call folia deux, which is like the foolishness of two. And it's usually, Columbine was another example of this, where you had one who was the much stronger personality
right.
and was really focused on committing this act for pure thrills. And then the other who was really almost incapable of, and that's not to say they're not responsible, they are, but that they couldn't exert pushback on these people. And so they kind of got involved and told themselves that they were, you know, enjoying it as well. And
that sounds like the Boston Marathon, you know, the Planet of the Bombs. Same type of dynamic.
Yeah, the dynamic is really important, and one of the ones that I'm gonna go into in this is a Bundy, but it is not that Bundy.
Huh.
It's Carol Bundy and Doug Clark, who were a couple who were picking up sex workers and even some non-sex workers, just teenagers, on the Sunset Strip in L.A. and just committing horrific acts.
Wow.
And ultimately, one of them turned on the other because it really was much more the fascination of one than the other. But I won't spoil all of
them. You know why also the 80s is an interesting period to look at? Because it was during the 80s when... in general pop culture, the fascination with the slasher films began. Mm. And so there was this sort of, it was proving to be entertainment, you know, but a lot of people there were a lot of notable murders going on during that time frame as well. So do you draw any confluence?
I cut you off.
No, just saying that the confluence is, I mean, if someone's a lunatic, something's going to push them over. It may not be a slasher movie, but do you draw the confluence there?
That's a very, very complicated answer to what feels like a simple question. No, we don't. Media does not push people over the edge
right.
to commit sociopathic acts. Now, you know, you talk about the 80s and the 70s and 80s really is the rise of the slasher film and into the early 90s. And it's also, you know, in criminology terms, sort of tongue-in-cheek labeled the golden age of serial killers. And part of that has to do, a lot of people have theorized and posited, and you can read some textbooks on this if you really want to dive in, that some of that came because, these guys who were grown into full-fledged psychopathic killers and lust killers in the 70s, 80s, and 90s were children in the 40s and 50s and very early 60s when the the like Pulp Fiction magazines, the true crime magazines,
right,
were super popular. And again, it's not to say that the magazines made them do that, but there is this theory that holds that as these young boys were coming of age and coming into puberty, that was the closest thing to porn that they could get.
Wow.
So if you go back and look at the images, they're basically porn.
Right. But
they were available in every drugstore and every grocery store. And so a lot of boys were learning to identify their sexuality with violence at that time. Now, that in itself doesn't make somebody become a killer.
No, at least at some level, it's like what they talk about now with young men who have been raised on seeing little minute and a half Pornhub clips about intimacy, thinking
that's how
you do it.
Right.
Yeah. And again, that on its own absolutely does not, it doesn't create this in any way. But when you add that as being such a huge part of a time period, and you put it into the stew of somebody who might have a predisposition, who might be hardwired towards sociopathy or psychopathy,
right?
And then on top of that, any sort of like violence in the home or head trauma, stuff like that, that's when you kind of get this perfect storm.
If you're just tuning in, Sarah Kaling that we're talking to, and she's got a show coming up. It's called Gnarly Carnage, Murder 80s Style, A Night of 80s True Crime. Show tomorrow night, sold out at Devil's Den, but there's one coming up at the Khyber Pass on September 22nd. Sarah, have you had a chance to see Only Murders in the Building yet with Steve Martin and Martin Short and Selena Gomez?
I would not love that show more. I watched every episode twice already. I'm completely obsessed with it because I'm also, you know, I work in documentary film and,
right,
and investigative podcasts. I've also been obsessed with documentaries my whole life. And when Martin Short said, it's very PBS-y, like documentary on the history of boredom, I screamed and I was done. Like I've been
so, on it ever since. For those who don't know, it's a show about true crime fans. And they all listen to this podcast together, and then they decide to kind of start their own. And there's an actual murder that happens in their building. And I'm only two episodes in, so I have one more to go. And I figured that would speak directly to you, though.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's a delightful foray into the genre with, you know what I mean, where you can really kind of enjoy it and not feel like you need to take a shower.
No. The series is well done and is with the classic thing. The subject matter that it's going after, everyone has secrets. Everyone, right. Every participant has something going on. But that again, going back to our general fascination, that goes back, I mean, mystery novels and Sherlock Holmes and procedurals have been a part of our pop culture forever. It's just
forever.
Yeah, it's just something that is forever interesting. It's the same way you sort of sheepishly have to say, you know, with mob movies and the mafia, and which is tied, you know, circuitously or not, maybe a little bit less directly to what you research, but it's the same sort of mindset. What compels someone to be a part of this, mm-hmm, and to live in that lifestyle?
And I think to some extent, too, there is an element in all humans, but I think particularly for women, because we are the overwhelming proportion of victims of violent crime, there is this, the way I kind of sum it up is the devil that you know. And so kind of, I think a lot of people have this sense that the more they know or try to understand it, the more they're able to protect themselves from it. And that is true or not true to varying degrees, depending on the person and their life circumstances. But I think that is what that sort of that evolutionary tick in our brain,
right,
is just like, I want to understand this so I can keep myself, you know, safe from it.
Sure. Real quick, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but with Only Murders in the Building, the music on that show is very similar to the music that you'll find in actual podcasts about serial murders.
It's the serial, the podcast serial. I swear to God, they just lifted it straight from that. There's also another little Easter egg that I noticed when Selena Gomez's character is, you know, you see her doing these illustrations. And for anybody, any listeners of the podcast Criminal, which is just a wonderful podcast, Phoebe Judge has an artist whose name fell out of my brain, and now I feel terrible not crediting them. But on the website for Criminal, each episode has like artwork that has been created just for the episode, and it the Only Murders in the Building artwork looks like it's a nod to the criminal artwork. So I just love it. Definitely the people who made this are deep in the genre. I love it.
No, that's very cool. Very nice. Cool.
So when people come to the show, do I understand you're going to have some special themed cocktails to fit the event and everything?
Yeah, so, well, the Devil's Den is doing that. They're doing with the tickets, and every venue has their own, you know, has their own thing that they're doing. But we'll see. I'll chat with the folks at the Khyber and see if they want to do this as well. But what the Devil's Den is doing is flights of very sort of traditional 80s drinks. So it's like Sex on the Beach and Tequila Sunrise.
Kamikazes.
And, you know, these cocktails that were so popular, these very sugary cocktails in the 80s. And, you know, it's different everywhere. And I've got shows booked all over the country right now, which is kind of wild to me. So it's probably, you know, it's going to be different in each place. And a lot of shows I do are at breweries. So obviously they're going to do stuff, you know, with their own drinks. But I always tell the venues, you can put blood orange in any drink.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
A specialty cocktail.
Yeah, as long as you have that. Well, you're talking about having shows all over the country and the popularity of what you're doing. I mean, you turn around, if you just look at the general menu of shows available on Netflix or Hulu, there's a whole bunch of true crime, a whole bunch of stuff like literally in your wheelhouse. Are you working on anything? Have you been approached to do anything like this? Because I can't think of a better candidate to helm something like this.
You are very kind. Thank you for asking. I've done a lot. I'm deep in process with a couple of projects right now. A lot of people who follow me on social know I have been working for the last 2.5 years on a cold case in Mobile, Alabama, and I'm working with a phenomenal production company called Arc Media. They were the ones that did Who Killed Malcolm X on Netflix. I'm working with them on both a podcast and a television documentary series about that case and the investigation and the sort of societal factors that led to that case being cold for nearly 30 years. I'm working with another production company. I don't know how much I have to be careful.
I'll go for it.
Negotiations are in talks with for a television series with a well-known network on a serial killer. That's all I can say.
Okay.
And then there is a podcast we're in final negotiation stages right now about the history of the family of a well-known actor who may or may not be killing people.
Oh, wow. Dun, dun,
dun. Hey, Sarah, good. We wanted to ask you about, there's a current story. I've been reporting it in our Bizarre Files segment for a while now in South Carolina. I don't know if you've seen this, but this prominent legal family where the mother and son were killed a few months ago. And then the husband shows up. He's changing his tire on the side of the road. He gets shot in the head. And this family has had like their hands in the legal processes in this county in South Carolina for generations.
They own the law, basically.
Yeah. And there's some really funky things going on there. You haven't seen that yet?
I haven't, but I'm intrigued. I'm sure.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And the son who was killed was going to go to trial for the murder of another gal in a boating accident. So there's all kinds of really weird, interesting things that you might like in that.
Yeah, I love rabbit hole cases where you go, "Oh my god!"
Yes.
and then you're in it for another nice. 4 hours online. So yeah.
All right, we'll take a look at that one, and in the meantime, we'll tell people again about the show coming up on September 22nd at the Khyber Pass. It's 7 p.m. If you would like to go to tickets to Gnarly Carnage Murder 80 Style, you can go to what's the best place to way to get tickets.
The best place right now is Eventbrite because you can search me on Eventbrite, which again, that's so wild for me to even say. A couple of the places have already put links up. I have shows coming up in Baltimore. I've got a couple in Atlanta. I've got a couple more in Mobile, Alabama. I'm in talks with some spots in Boston. And I actually just literally this morning launched a brand new website, which I have to shout out Aaron. I'm going to look at his name. Pruzinyak. I've been friends with this guy for years and I just can't say
it. Just learned his last name.
Because I just call him Aaron Prue. That's what everybody calls him. But at any rate, the fabulous Aaron Prue has spent the last few weeks racing to put together just a really fantastic website to be ready so we could talk about it today. And on there, it'll have a calendar. We'll have ticket links to all of the upcoming shows. It'll have contacts. Pages. So if a venue wants to have a true crime event at their space, you can reach out to me on there. Or if you are a person or a police agency in need of some consultation on a cold case, you can reach out to me there too. So that is KalenInvestigations.com.
I'm on it right now.
We'll make it easy for our listeners, and we'll put a link on presidency.com.
And everything. So that is out in the world. Thank you, Aaron Prue. And folks can find all of the dates and ticket links to upcoming shows on there.
Awesome. All right, Sarah, enjoy your time at the show. Thanks for coming on again. I'm sure we'll talk sometime down the road.
Yes, thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
Excellent. You too. All right, Sarah Kaylee. She knows her true crime, and 80s style is what she's going with.
That's
this
a great period.
Yeah. We're going to break. We're going to come back in a moment, and Bizarre File Stories will be next in a little bit. We also have another announcement this morning, which might have some ticket giveaways with it, too. We'll see. We'll be back in a moment.
Get what you want when you want it. MMR On Demand. Preston and Steve's Daily Rush, Sarah's Rock Breakdown, MMR Podcasts, the latest videos and interviews with your fave artists, and lots more. Click the On Demand tab at WMMR.com.
Bizarre File, and then an announcement.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Horizon. For a limited time, Horizon Services lets you name your price on Horizon's full 21-point tune-up. Don't wait. Name your price ends on September 10th. You can visit horizonservices.com. A former NASA engineer has spent a year building the world's tallest slime volcano.
And it's awesome.
That sent a tower of green goo exploding 250 feet into the sky. It's massive.
It's unbelievable. Once you think it's done, you're wrong. There's still more to come.
Mark Rober spent 12 months designing the volcano after breaking the world record in an attempt last year, which saw red goo soar at 60 feet. This one, 250. He has smashed that record using what he called a bomb-proof 5-ton steel volcano, which he spent a year designing. Footage shows the YouTuber watching as the bright green plume of elephant toothpaste, they call it, shoots 250 feet into the air during a surprise for a young blood cancer sufferer named Brody. The stunt is part of a chemical reaction with hydrogen peroxide, soap dish, and yeast in warm water. A video shows Rober and Brody watching as the green plume erupts into the air from the steel structure. The volcano, which was 20% bigger than the previous year's attempt, was made from 5 tons of steel all fused together. In the footage, Rober explains that he designed the structure to sit on a plinth of concrete attached with 33 quarter-inch bolts with a total clamping force of 80 tons. Rober placed 4 troughs inside the volcano chamber, each filled with the catalyst, which is then dumped into the solution into the green-tinted hydrogen peroxide pool below. He and Brody can be seen watching from behind a transparent shelter as the green elephant toothpaste shoots 250 feet above the volcano. The substance appears to separate in the air before landing on and around the base of the volcano to jubilant cries as the local mayor and the fire service watch on when it happened. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, and they had to obviously secure the container to make it that focused so it would shoot up that high.
Yep, and Brody didn't know that the fellow cancer patient, but heard his quad bike was stolen and chose to replace it. Rober can be heard telling the viewers in the video, he managed to surprise Brody, by the way, who believed that he had flown out for a day of medical tests and meetings with specialists. This was like a...
That's awesome.
He had done Make-A-Wish before, and the guy had heard about him, and he got this set up for him to watch. It's so cool, man. So I thought that's a great story. Wow. All right, this one is out of Sandwich, Massachusetts. A sandwich man faces driving under the influence charges after police say he dragged a 19-foot boat behind his vehicle.
I'm a sandwich man.
With no trailer.
No trailer?
Just drug the boat?
Yep. At about 1:30 a.m. Saturday.
How?
Sandwich police said an officer was nearly struck head-on by a vehicle pulling a boat trailer on the service road, but the boat had fallen off the trailer being dragged in the opposite lane of traffic.
Oh, my God.
After avoiding a collision, the officer was able to stop the driver. John Ferguson was arrested and charged with operating under the influence, negligent operation, and marked lanes violations as well.
Wow.
Well, like something out of a horror movie, a mass of pizza dough has started to grow in a dumpster that it was discarded in. The dough was tossed by a Domino's Pizza employee while preparing for Hurricane Ida. And now, one resident has documented the dough's growth. What was only a blob when it was first pitched into the Covington Pizzeria's dumpster has now risen and spilled out onto the concrete. It's bubbling out of this.
It is sort of sci-fi looking.
It's like the blob.
Yeah.
The dough monster continued to grow in its metal cage as temperatures rose into the 90s throughout the weekend. One resident, Nicole Amstutz, had documented the blob's growth since Wednesday via her social media account, where she describes herself as a snaction reporter. Armistice's Facebook posts have received massive amounts of attention, but it's gotten big and bubbled up out. It, like, filled up this entire dumpster.
you don't normally think about those things, but of course that's what would happen.
Yeah, Steve, side note, have you done anything with the mother from Tom?
Yes, I'm feeding it.
Okay.
So I'm feeding it.
Still alive.
Yes, and okay. I cannot describe how nervous I am to try to make a sourdough. I thought I was going to do it, but now I'm keeping it alive. It's doing quite well.
Right. The mother yeast that was sent to Steve from Tom Papa.
Yeah, so. But I'm terrified to make a crappy sourdough bread and have to present that to Tom Papa.
The Iowa State Patrol says a motorcyclist was killed in the northeastern corner of Iowa when he was hit by a kayak. That had fallen from a trailer. The crash happened Sunday morning on a county road. Investigators say
people can't keep their boats on trailers.
75-year-old John Thien was northbound on the road just before 11 a.m. and was approaching a southbound pickup truck pulling a trailer loaded with kayaks. One of the kayaks fell from the trailer, and it hit his motorcycle, and it caused a crash, and it killed him.
My God!
Yeah, so the patrol continues to investigate the fatal crash. Then we'll do one more story, and I'm going to end on a messed up one here. An Oklahoma man is behind bars accused of shooting his own mother. Police report reported the details of what happened Wednesday. 50-year-old Glenn Gregg is being charged with shooting with intent to kill. He told a 911 dispatcher, "I tried to kill my mother." As his 78-year-old mother shrieked in the background and she screamed, he said, "I shot her in the head and the stomach," and she's walking around with blood all over her.
Why the hell did you do that?
In fact, in agony, the mother could be heard demanding answers from her son. Why would you do such a thing? Why did you do this? Why?
Mom's tough, man.
Officers arrived. And by the way, she survived. So,
oh, my God.
He shot her in the head and stomach. Officers arrived to find the mother covered in blood, naked, and was sitting in a chair in the living room.
Go cut me a switch.
Greg told officers that he drank a big bottle of whiskey throughout the day. When they asked him why he shot his mother, he said, "I was trying to put her out of her misery."
Had she determined she was in misery?
And he also said, "She's going insane." And he told officers his dad was in the hospital and his mother thinks that his dad can get back home from the hospital, but he didn't have any way of getting his father back into the house. When asked what the mother was doing to make him think that she was insane, he said she doesn't understand that he's unable to bring his father home. Okay. Greg said he just snapped and shot his mother while she slept in bed before calling 911 himself.
I love her so much, I'm going to have to shoot her.
The mother's in the hospital. She's in stable condition. They're still confirming exactly how many times she was shot and where on her body she was hit.
Wow. 78.
Yeah.
And survives.
Yep. All right. And that is what I have.
It's amazing.
It's a bizarre file. It is. Are we ready for an announcement?
Yeah.
I'm ready to give it to you. Sounds like a broken record, but this show, Friday, October 8th, will be at the Academy of Music, and it stars none other than John Mulaney. The 14th show added to his run in Philadelphia.
Wow.
Yeah.
14 shows.
Tickets go on sale today at noon. All 13 of his other shows, the Academy of Music, are sold out. That's incredible.
Yes.
Are multiple people buying multiple tickets? It's crazy.
I don't doubt it, but he's absolutely one of the best working now.
Yep.
So I think that's the attraction.
You can click concerts at WMMR.com for more information, or you can be caller number 14 at 215-263-WMMR. We will get you those tickets before they go on sale. So once again, it's the 14th show, John Mulaney, October 8th, 9:30 p.m. at the Academy of Music. Tickets go on sale today at noon. So we'll take the 14th caller. We'll give you tickets to that show. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. Lesson question, trash and music news coming up next.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're in the O's for the Back School A2Z. Red Hot Chili Peppers giving us that song. What's going to be next? Any others? What's wrong?
Come on.
This stupid computer, you have to have like an attachment to charge it for some reason, and the attachment's gone. So I can't charge my computer.
You have an adapter is what you're talking about for the power cord. I've seen you use it.
Yeah. What is up with the power cords and these stupid Apple products?
I will tell you what the deal is.
I'm so tired of having to replace them.
Every 7 minutes.
What the hell?
So that you can spend $250,000 on proprietary extension cords.
Oh, my God.
And I want to go to Cupertino and strangle every engineer with my 300 old useless power cord.
Oh, my God. Wasn't that Steve Jobs' philosophy? Keep it a closed system? And
yes.
Then that way people are going to have to buy more components from you?
Right. But they keep the power cord has been the bane of existence for every Apple person for years because, you know, I ordered a brand new one. I ordered a knockoff.
Oh.
It came a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I said, come on, it's going to
work.
Yeah. It does not
it
work.
Doesn't
it
work.
Doesn't work?
No. It does not.
Yeah, so,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, this is like an older computer, and so there's like this little tiny adapter that goes on the computer, and so now because it's gone, I can't plug my charger in, so I can't charge my computer.
Here, wait a second.
Can borrow mine? It'll fit, Kathy. Just shove it in real hard.
I've learned to not
lick the end of it.
Yeah, spit on it real quick, and then shove it in.
There we go.
Oh, it does fit.
I told you it'll fit.
Is it like this?
No, Nick's works.
This is a USB-C.
Mine's the right size for Kathy.
Why does yours work and not mine?
Chemistry.
We have the same computer.
He's more committed.
Yeah. Do a little bit of work ahead of time.
Yours doesn't look like his.
Right.
By the way, I've learned to not buy knockoff electronics because we had a couple generations Xbox a while back, and the charger, the plug that you plug in, it's got that big brick on it, you know, it's a power converter. But anyhow, so I'm like, those things are god-awful expensive. So I'm like, we'll get this other brand or used or whatever it was, and it'll work fine. It worked fine, but when you plug it in, it goes... and you just have to deal with that while you're... While you're playing games.
So, I do tons of tech research. I know my stuff.
Yeah.
But and this was Apple approved. But you're right. Just go, what you do is drop your trousers.
Exactly.
Right. Turn
grab
around.
Yeah. That's what you got to do because they got you over a barrel, man. All right.
I'm going to go to jail.
Thank you, Kathy.
Sorry about that.
All right, it's okay.
Fargan ice holes.
We're going to do today's lesson question. And the question we're going to go with concerns Kathy Romano.
Ooh.
We're going to give away Zack Snyder's Justice League on 4K Ultra HD. You made the same sound yesterday.
You know what? I actually got an advanced copy, and it looks glorious.
The question that we have for you is Dr. Mike is going to have to check which of Kathy's body parts to see if she has cancer there. 215-263-WMMR. Let's even know the answer. All right, Dr. Mike's going to have to check which of Kathy's body parts to see if she has cancer there. 215-263-WMMR is the number.
By the way, when I got in the car to go to the doctor yesterday, I put you guys on, and you were going right to commercial, and the only thing I heard was Sizzling Dion. And I don't even know what it was in reference to, but I was like, that sounds pretty funny.
Hey, we're almost decent. Yeah.
Can I mention something I overheard from you, Kathy, just a little while ago? I'd see you answer your phone, and I'd just hear you go, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, is that how she answers the phone?
So if you want to try to figure out why she and Dr. Mike have the robust conversations that they have, they're both incredibly high-strung.
That was her hello.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Well, because I get a text message that says, "Can I take medicine?" from Jace. I'm like, what are you talking? What? Right. What's no?
That merits a what's wrong. All right. Call now. Let's see if you know the answer. We're going to do the trash for you. Call now.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Jersey Mike's. You can order through the Jersey Mike's app for free delivery on Saturdays. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. What's happening this morning, Steve?
Well, rapper Lil Uzi Vert says that large pink diamond he had implanted in his forehead got ripped out by fans while he was crowd surfing. The incident apparently panicked Vert into immediately having his diamond-studded Prince Albert removed.
Oh, my God.
Dwayne Dog Chapman is a husband again after marrying Francie Frain Thursday night at a Colorado Springs estate. Chapman wrote his own vows, thanking Frain for making him a better man, then proved it by dropping just 18 racist and homophobic slurs.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Britney Spears' boyfriend of 4 years, Sam Asghari, was seen shopping for rings at Cartier in Beverly Hills, raising engagement rumors. The saleswoman who waited on Asghari would not say if the ring was for Britney, but did reveal that Asghari insisted that it be resistant to drool. That's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we're going to see if we can get a winner here. We're looking for the answer to this question. Dr. Mike is going to have to check which part of Kathy's body for cancer. And I will go to Mike P., our first caller. And hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Preston.
All right, Mike, what part of Kathy's body is Dr. Mike going to have to check?
Her testicles?
Yeah, her testicles. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, hang on, Mike. We're going to set you up with Zack Snyder's Justice League on 4K Ultra HD and the Visionary Director's Cut, Batman and Wonder Woman, united team of MetaHuman to save the planet. You can own it now on 4K Ultra HD and Blu-ray.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Oh, my
boss! All right. Brought to you this morning by the Pennsylvania Lottery. Tonight's Powerball jackpot now has an estimated annuity of $388 million. $388 million. Buy at a retailer online.
Retailer online.
Pennsylvania Lottery proceeds benefit older Pennsylvanians. Every day, players must be 18 or older, and please play responsibly.
Yes, I'd like to order some Pennsylvanians, please. Any size will do.
Radiohead are teasing fans on social media with the possibility of a joint 20th anniversary reissue of their 2000s albums, Kid A and Amnesiac. The 30-second clip shows a pair of hands trying to tape together CD copies of the two projects. Kid A and Amnesiac were released 7 months apart in 2000 and 2001, respectively. Radiohead guitarist Ed O'Brien told NME last year that the band might be celebrating the two albums, saying, "Due to the nature of it, I can't fully reveal anything, but there have been talks about ways of doing something. Everything gets thrown up in the air with coronavirus, so a lot of ideas are being mooted," he says. Alice in Chains guitarist and vocalist Jerry Cantrell, Soundgarden guitarist Kim Thayil, and original Pearl Jam drummer Dave Cruzan are going to take part in the Sounds of Seattle Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, which is taking place February 17th through the 20th of next year in Los Angeles.
Is that one of those deals where fans can go and hang out and get lessons and stuff like that?
Correct. Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp was created 25 years ago to provide real people the once-in-a-lifetime experience of connecting and jamming with their musical heroes.
Would you do something like that if, like, there was a drummer camp with all your the people that you admire?
There was a time when absolutely, I definitely would have done something like this. Now it wouldn't, I don't know if it... It'd kind of be a waste of money. I mean, I'm not trying to be a working musician or anything like that.
So. You know, people do, like, for example, our friend Jim Antes, I think, went to a baseball fantasy camp.
Those
are very popular.
Absolutely. Thale said in a statement, the past few years have been unusually difficult and at times truly bizarre for the nation and world in general. And for the music industry and rock bands in particular, I am super excited about the opportunity to connect and re-engage with fellow musicians and fans at the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. Bring your favorite acts. Let's jam at Rock Camp. In addition, Stephen Perkins, he's in that documentary, Steve, Count Me In, that we were talking about. He's from Jane's Addiction. He'll be there.
He was actually, he was really good.
Yeah.
I was aware of him, but he is featured prominently. And Preston, he appears to be a damn good drummer.
Yeah, and he has a lot of fun. He has a great appreciation for drummers, music, all of it, and having a good time playing music. Mike Kroger will also be there, Monty Pittman, Adam Curry, Joel Hoekstra, Peter Klett, Ava Gardner,
Clem Pufferman,
Tommy Black, Britt Lightning. They will all take part in the event. Former Metallica bassist Jason Newsted revealed why he was always seen on stage wearing the band's T-shirts. He said, I believed in myself and I believed in my band. I would do whatever I could.
Did he believe in peanut butter?
What was in within my power? Why?
You remember that old commercial, don't
no,
you?
No, I don't remember
If
that.
You believe in peanut butter.
I don't remember that. Was it for was it for a peanut butter brand?
It's actually for birth control.
It was for peanut butter,
yeah.
Okay. He said, what was it within my power to promote and forward our success? You know what I do remember, though?
What?
Sizzling.
Sizzling Dion.
That
concert in Montreal.
So he goes on to say, I would sacrifice myself in any manner asked. There were no limits. I would do whatever it took, what I could possibly do in my limited knowledge and experience to play my role to the best of my ability to make us successful. He went on to say, flying the colors made me, as Jason Isbell says, black metal T-shirt, my shield. And it was. And it always was. And it was the name of my effing band across the front. And guess what? There is no bigger one. So I pridefully wear this. I fly my colors more pridefully than any Hell's Angel or whatever through all of time. He went on to say, and one little side note that goes along with doing what I can for the cause. If you go back and you talk to the guy after the show that comes to Lars about the dough, he says, hey, by the way, Jay, you know the executioner shirt that you've been wearing the last 3 days? Well, it outsold everything else by 40%. So take that with you, okay? And everybody gets that money. Manager, crew guy, band guy. Everybody shares that money, so there you go, bro, is what he said. So that's why he would...
For marketing.
If you believe in peanut butter, clap your hands.
For peanuts.
And magic.
If you believe in peanut butter, you gotta believe.
Come on, be a believer.
In Peter Pan.
There you go. I did not know. Oh, say the clap your hands.
Yes.
That's from the Peter Pan story.
Right.
Clapping helps save them.
Right.
Marissa's amazing. She just... Grab that.
Thank you for verifying my childhood memories and my love of peanut butter.
Totally an inferior peanut butter product.
It is.
Shut your hole.
No.
Shut your hole. It's better than freaking Jif.
No, it's not. Jif is the best.
Which one was junk? Which one was chunky?
Peter Pan had chunky.
They all have chunky.
Yeah, Jif has chunky.
Peter Pan.
No.
Yes.
If you believe in peanut butter, clap your goddamn hands.
All right, can we all agree that Skippy sucked?
No.
No, Skippy was good.
Are you kidding me?
Skippy was good. It was very it was very creamy, right? Skippy was the creamiest.
Creamy.
Jif was the best. Yeah, I'm with Casey.
I didn't even think.
Which one did the Ned Funicello push?
Although I've been.
She was Skippy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she used to cream. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Good God.
Lately, I've been going with the Acme store brand organic chunky peanut butter. That is the best.
What the hell happened to you?
Well, so I do.
Look at him.
Peanut butter.
He's disappointing me.
He's all skinny now.
Peanut butter and honey sandwiches.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter and honey sandwiches are only good with chunky peanut butter. It's a proven fact. And I was trying to go organic because...
All right, if I may, here's a litmus test. What peanut butter would you be most inclined to put on a, like a rice cake?
Rice cake?
Mm-hmm. Jif.
Jif?
Okay. Jif creamy.
Crap on a rice cake.
I like peanut butter on a rice cake.
Ew.
You know where peanut butter fails massively is where you
as put, an adhesive.
Yeah, well, no, well, no. Probably, but
no, it's not that bad.
If you put a bagel in a toaster and then you're trying to butter a bagel with peanut butter,
no,
just right through the hole.
I just butter on a bagel.
Oh, peanut yes, butter, yeah,
trying He's to make right. like a
English muffin.
Well, yeah, that's
English
what I'm
muffin.
Saying.
English muffin.
No, that's why I'm saying it's inferior because right. all the peanut butter just siphons okay. down.
Well, if you want the correct answers, Preston is right on the English muffin, and then but Nick is right. Too about being bold with a bagel.
You're the governing body?
Yeah, I didn't want to boast about this, right. but there is a document in Sweden.
Hey, by the way, so I listen, to be honest, all three of them are good. I grew up eating Peter Pan peanut butter. I you know what we should have? We should do a blind taste test.
We should. Do you know
what? Do that tomorrow?
Yeah, bring it on in.
Yeah,
bring it, bitch.
See if we can actually tell the difference between Peter Pan, Jif, and Skippy.
And Skippy.
Or you rank the one you like best. And you may be surprised. It might be like the Pepsi Coke challenge.
But have you ever had it made like at the like the Whole Foods or whatever where they grind it up?
Yeah, the machine. I never have done that.
So, what you find out is that if you do it that way, the peanut butter is like a quarter of a million calories.
Mm-hmm.
Like because right. like, there's no de-oiling. Yeah.
But during the taste test, you have to promise that whenever you're guessing Skippy, you have to say damn first, and then you say damn Skippy.
Damn Skippy.
That's good. Yeah, you got
anyhow.
So much.
Let's
what's wrong with you?
Let's try and do the
woman is hurting.
The blind taste test tomorrow.
Wait.
And Kathy will legitimately be blind. She won't be able to see her eyes or her shoulders.
Wouldn't it be wild if she eats the peanut butter and that cures everything?
Right.
Oh my God.
No, I actually think peanut butter is I probably shouldn't have peanut butter. It does not make me feel good, but I do love it.
No, then don't have it tomorrow.
I want to play.
Yeah. No, I want to see her break out.
Is that what we're doing for show and tell tomorrow?
We're supposed to do show and tell tomorrow, but
no, I need more prep time.
Maybe we can all show and tell different types of peanut butter.
I don't know what I'm doing.
How about we finish music news?
What? Right.
And then we'll this figure all this out. You not hear the teletype? All right.
Finally, like a technology that's been gone for 50 years.
KYW doesn't even use it anymore.
They don't use it. And then, you know what?
Remember they used to have that?
Yeah. I always loved it. To me, it always...
I hated it.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated it. Anyway.
Peanut butter.
Just released. It's Bob Marley and the Wailers, the Capitol Session 73. The closed door in-studio performance was filmed and recorded October 1973.
The Peter Pan Sessions.
At the Capitol Records Tower in Los Angeles by legendary producer Denny Cordell.
Wow.
And the set is available as CD-DVD package and standalone CD and a bunch of different formats, including vinyl. The press release said, filmed 10 years after their formation, Bob Marley and the Wailers already had several established hits through the ska and rock city eras, gaining recognition stateside, including a few shows with Bruce Springsteen at Max's Kansas City in New York City. They then went on to tour with Sly and the Family Stone before they had been unceremoniously dumped from the tour. This led the band, Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, Joe Higgs, Aston Barrett, Carlton Barrett, and Earl Lindo making their way to Hollywood to do this session. I'd be very interested in seeing and hearing this.
Just a quick question. Did you say that Max's Kansas City is in New York City?
Yeah. So I think that's the name of the place. Yeah, I've heard of it.
They go there in Almost Famous.
Okay.
I think.
Right. Okay. I
think I'm right.
Kind of believe you.
They have a flight of peanut butter.
And that is what I have in music news for you. All right. A reminder, we made an announcement about MMR's Money Clips. It starts on Monday. $500, seven times a day, your chance to win. So that's Monday through Friday.
It blows my mind.
8 a.m., 10 a.m., 12 noon, 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. And you can go to WMMR.com to get the details on what you need to know. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, get ready to wrap up the program. Oh, and Kathy, mm-hmm. we need a secret text word caller, please.
38.
Wow. All right. Whoa. Caller 38. There you go, Connor. 215-263-WMMR. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
MMR spotlights the best rock with Jackson's Local Shots.
That's right, and this month's artist is Foxtrot and the Get Down. See them live at the MMRBQ.
Can get lonely, baby. Get Down, your local Shots Artist of the Month. Check them out every Wednesday at 6:30 right here on the Mighty MMR.
And you can hear and see more now at WMMR.com. Keyword, local shots.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Philly.
Our house. 93.3 WMMR. CSN. Song Graham Nash wrote about a day with him and Joni Mitchell. Just swinging by, picking up a bass, and going back home and lighting a fire. Pierre's told us that story before.
It's really what it is. It's a wonderful thing.
It's a great song. Our House in the O's for the Back School A to Z, 93.3 WMMR, presented by Springfield Mitsubishi. Hey, we were looking for a winner for the secret text word, and it was caller number 38 that Kathy called out. We are looking for that person, and it happens to be Jared. Hey, Jared, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, Jared. Do you know our secret text word?
It's pizza.
Pizza. Pizza! You got it, sir. Hang on a second, Jared, because for you, going to give you tickets to see this band, Breaking Benjamin. They are playing a special show at Montage Mountain with Papa Roach and Memphis Mayfire. This is going to be Saturday, September 18th at the Pavilion. And tickets are available now via Ticketmaster. Complete details at WMMR.com. And then we grabbed a random texter, and that was Joe Marquart. Marquart.
Quart.
Q-U-A-R-T. From Philadelphia. So you get to go to the show as well. And I've been told these are the best seats in the house.
That's what they're saying.
So we'll take care of you, my friend. Congratulations. And enjoy the show. I would like to thank our guest, Sarah Kayleen, for being on. Kayleen Investigations. Two shows in Philadelphia, September 8th and 15th. The 8th is sold out. The 15th you can go to. Details at WMMR.com. But it's a true crime show. It's an 80s theme one this time around. And there's some fun. There's some comedy. There's some serious stuff. There's cocktails. There's food and stuff like that. And if true crime is your thing, you will want to go. She's really cool. She knows her stuff.
She absolutely knows her stuff.
Yep. So it was nice to have her on this morning. And a reminder, we announced that a 14th show with John Mulaney is coming to town. It will be October 8th, a Friday at the Academy of Music, 9:30 show. Tickets go on sale today at 12 noon. And we also announced the return of MMR's Money Clips contest, and that starts on Monday.
I wonder outside, so with Mulaney's 14 show run, outside of what they call a residency, mm-hmm. what was the longest run of a performer?
I was thinking
selling out shows.
A comedian?
I was thinking about, remember when Billy Joel would do it in the Garden for a long stretch?
Right, you know, but that was...
He did like a month.
Yeah.
That was a residency, though.
That was a residency?
Yeah. It was considered a residency, but it wasn't just a month. I think it went on for... He did several dates over the course of a year.
Wow. Yeah. So what the run that prompted the addition of shows to meet, you know, the demand of the audience? I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, it's a great question. It's a trivia question because I don't know the answer. But you know, sometimes that show business phrase by popular demand is absolutely bogus because there is no, I mean, it's just nonsense.
What do the people gather outside?
Yeah. By popular demand, let's put on another show. We could make some more dough. But sometimes there is a genuine explosion of interest. And one of those that really was spontaneous was the Hooters at the Tower Theater. They hold the record for consecutive nights in a row at the Tower Theater, which was six or seven nights in a row in 85 or 86.
Wow.
They put on a show, sold out. Put on the next one, sold out. Put on the next one, sold out. And David Bowie only has four. Bruce Springsteen only has four. The Hooters have six, possibly seven.
It's amazing.
Bruce did a stretch in South Philly maybe 15, 16 years ago, and it was several at the Wells Fargo Center, but the Spectrum was still there, too. And so that was like eight or nine. And they were all sold out, too. And, you know,
really?
Yeah, because I bought tickets for my parents to go see him at the Spectrum, and my dad said it was one of the greatest concerts he's ever seen. So, you know, there are certain artists who can do it, but they probably have to do it in a city that's friendly to them. You know, Philly would be an example of that.
Right, yeah. There are some, so there you go.
Interesting. How you doing, man?
Good day. Well, you just played Our House, which is so cool, and synchronicitous. I love that word, and it's those little connections. And I'm walking right past one of our latest additions to our art on the wall. But Graham Nash, who wrote that song, sells his lyrics online to some of his great songs, Our House, Teacher, Children, things like that. And you can get them at his shows and stuff. And I got one online, and they're limited edition. This is 500. This number is 219 out of 500, but is the lyrics of Our House with this cool little drawing of a house with two cats in the yard. Huh. But and it's signed, but I sent it up to him where he lives in New York, and he's custom signed it for MMR.
Oh, that's great.
Personalize it to say WMMR. That's great.
So he goes on the top part to MMR, the radio station, and a line, and underneath that just a G for Graham. Mm-hmm. And then underneath the Graham Nash, he goes to my friends, not just a house, but also a home of rock and roll.
Wow.
And this hangs right in front of the entrance to Studio 4F.
That's great.
And this is kind of subtle. A lot of people haven't noticed it yet, but we just got that in the last month or so.
That's
so
excellent.
That's pretty cool.
I love that.
Our great framer, by the way, who needs great credit, Original Images, Gail Fogle, framed this and did a beautiful, beautiful job on it. Original Images is out there if you need good framing.
I got to go across the hall and peruse the new editions. I may do that today.
There's some new ones. There's about maybe 10 new ones and a lot of older ones, but we haven't had space for them, and now we have an abundance of space.
I love it. We'll have to do a video tour sometime in the near future.
Like a night in the museum.
Yeah. I want to do that.
Yeah. All right. You know what I want to do? The letter of the day. You good to go?
I want to do that.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right. And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
T as in Tom Tomorrow.
All right, and Tom Tomorrow may have a chance to win Metallica the Black Album, remastered deluxe box set, and a collector's edition Metallica Wherever I May Roam Varsity Jacket. Metallica marks the 30th anniversary of its self-titled fifth album, a.k.a. the Black Album, with two landmark releases both out September 10th on the band's own Blackened Records. Metallica.com to pre-order now, and it comes with a whole bunch of different versions, CDs, DVDs, laminates, and guitar pick, lyric folder, blah, 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 a whole bunch of stuff. So you could win that on Friday. So we'll do the letters tomorrow and then Friday, and we'll give that away. What's up on the show today, my man?
By the way, speaking of our, I don't know what that room is now called, the green room or the room outside of Studio 4F, because you have the Preston Steve Acme Lounge.
I guess that's the Jock Lounge.
Jock Lounge, okay. Yeah. So in that room is a ton of signed stuff. And when we do our video tour, you'll see everything from something as vintage as a song from 1969, Our House, to Metallica signed poster, to MMR, to the Struts, to the Foo Fighters, to AC/DC. Linkin Park has a beautiful signed picture to MMR.
It's amazing.
Rancid signed a guitar, Red Hot Chili Peppers. So we got a lot of history here,
nice.
But that room's got a lot of special stuff, and we will have that online for you soon. In terms of the A to Z, much the same thing, older stuff, newer stuff. By the way, yesterday, I must comment, you guys started the M's at about maybe 10 o'clock, 10:15-ish. You had Machine Head was your first M, and then your second one was Madison Blues by George Thorogood. So sometimes people wonder how long this goes. I had M's through my whole show. Jackson had M's. I was at the gymnasium listening to Jackie, and the M's wrapped up with My Sharona from The Knack, My Way from Frank Sinatra, and Mystery Achievement was the last one from The Pretenders.
What a run.
About 10:15 last night.
Wow.
So that's almost 12 hours, because you guys started the M's alone at about 10:15 a.m., and it wrapped up about 10:15 p.m. last night. So
that's
pretty
wild.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
So you're in the O's and the hours. So you did Our House. I've got another Our House. I've got some outs, a fair number of outs, a few overs, and then some P's to get to.
Excellent.
Speaking
my of favorite letter.
So bad.
He's got to go to the bathroom.
Let's talk for a few more minutes. So I'm dreaming of waterfalls. Waterfalls and the gushing sound of water over streams.
Water over streams.
I don't know.
I'm going to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also by Sequoia Outback and their end-of-season showroom sale, Route 309 in Hatfield or DeckSupplies.com. Tomorrow on the program, comedian Dan Cummins.
Yes.
And we'll either do show and tell or a blind peanut butter taste test. I don't know which one.
I think we got to go peanut butter.
One
peanut
of those, butter. Which, by the way, I'm losing horribly in our Twitter poll. Nobody likes Peter Pan. I'm the only one. But go ahead and vote if you will. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve.
On 3-3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the bop-bop-choo-da-bop-choo-bop-bop-ba-do-ga-ga-bop-ba-dop.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.